How you doing?
Yeah, I decided not to park here.
Well, what do you mean? You decided not to park here?
Yeah, I just came in. I decided not to park here, so...
But, well, I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, I decided not to, you know, I'm not, I decided not to take the trip, as it turns out, so...
Well, I'm sorry, sir. We still got to charge you the $4.
I just pulled in here. I just pulled in here.
Well, but, see, there's a minimum charge of $4. Long-term parking charges by the day.
I guess you think you're, you know, like an authority figure? That stupid fucking uniform, huh, buddy? King clip-on tie there, big fucking man, huh? You know, these are the limits of your life, man. The rule of your little fucking gate here, here. That's your $4, you pathetic piece of shit.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Dracula is the name.
Hey, shooter.
No.
Tour championships next week, right?
That's right.
If I beat you, I get the house back. You beat me, I'll quit.
You're gonna beat me? And golf? Oh, you're on. You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
Show me that smile again. Light up the night with leering jack-o'-lanterns. Come, all my ghoulish friends. Let the Halloween. When you hear a ghost whisper right in your ear, did the wind alone softly moan? No, it's a werewolf that's outside your window, the foulest of all creations. Gather together at this time of year, creatures of the dark. To scare you by bringing your nightmares to life.
Oh, and then I saw you on the TV, and I remembered, you know, I always liked you.
Well, I always liked you.
I always liked you so much.
So, Mike, should we get together another time, you think?
No, I'm sorry. It's, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't. I thought we'd have a really terrific time.
It's okay, Mike.
You were such a super lady. And then, I've been so lonely.
Quite a show you put on today, Gilmore. You were the talk of the tournament.
Wow, thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, you really crushed that ball off the tee, I'll tell you what. You know, you'd be something in one of those long drive contests. Yeah, you could probably get a very good living, traveling around, hustling at driving ranges. Thanks, Phil.
That's, you know, I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it. So why don't you just shut your trap before I put my foot in it?
Don't turn your back on me. Let's get one thing straight. This is Shooter's tour. I've worked hard my whole life, paid my dues, and now it's Shooter's turn. And Shooter's not about to let his reign at the top be spoiled by some freak sideshow clown.
Did you just call me a freak? I was on this tour for one reason, money. But now I got a new reason, kicking your ass.
Well, I'd like to see you try.
Let's do it.
I'm in on a golf course.
Hey, what is going on here, huh?
Oh, I was just, looking for the other half of this bottle, and, there's some of it right... There's some right there, too.
Why don't you just put it down?
Yeah, I know.
Just stay out of my way. or you'll pay. Listen to what I say.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say?
Woo-hoo! He can make things out of clay. Yay. Here I am. Oh, wait, that doesn't rhyme. Hi, everyone. I am the J-Strom. It is time for Entertainment Landfill. Let me just turn my head thing down. Jeez, I just blew my own ears out. Hi, everyone. I am the J-Strom. Woohoo! Entertainment Landfill is here. I'm a little under the weather, folks, so I'm going to just push my radio voice the entire show. No, I better not. That'd probably
no,
be
please
worse.
Don't.
Hey, I don't do the show alone. Sick.
You sound miserable.
I'm not. I'm fantastic. I'm in denial right now, Bill. Maybe around midway through TiVo, I'll be like, this is a bad idea.
Just get handed over to Steven.
Yeah. Steven, okay, the show just started. You be the guy who starts it. Ready? Go.
There was a helicopter crash.
You're not doing
fantastic.
The news. No. Yeah, great.
Well, you just handed it over to me that time, too.
We also, hey, I don't do the show alone. I do it with Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey, everybody.
Also, we have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How you doing, Bill?
I'm okay.
Fantastical?
Great.
Oh, yeah. That's good times. Well, it's good to be here, guys. The reason I, even though I'm sick, I wanted to do a show is because I figured we wouldn't do a show next week or something. This would be like our Halloween show. / my birthday show, guys. That's right.
Yep, tomorrow.
Tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And, Steven, you're kind of creepy right now.
That's a little disturbing.
Oh, happy birthday, big bird.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, Mr. Miyagi's here.
Happy
he came down from heaven, Bill.
That's fantastic.
Happy birthday, dear Daniel-san.
Daniel sounds really annoying in this bit, isn't he? Cut it with the horn, dude. Jeez.
Happy birthday.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
It's not my birthday yet. This ruins everything. I don't like this. I'm one of those birthday people where everything has to be perfect, though. Everything's ruined.
I was supposed to get the car during the party. You ruined
Listen
my life.
To what I say.
But guys, I love doing the show with you guys, and I thought it'd be great to do it tonight, even though I'm not feeling good. You guys will cheer me up, and by the end of the show, I'll be healed. What do you think?
It'll be fantastic.
Yeah,
it'll be wonderful.
It'll be a miracle. You know?
Yes. I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it.
A Halloween miracle.
Yeah, a Halloween miracle. But, Steven, you just got back from L.A., didn't you?
Yes.
How was L.A.?
It was fantastic.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
I missed, I was supposed to go, well, I wasn't supposed to. I was trying to hook up with Sean out there, but, schedules
Sean,
didn't.
Sean Uyoka?
Yes.
Oh, that would have been cool.
He flew out to Hawaii on Thursday. So, and then he had school in the evening, so it just didn't work out.
No.
No, it didn't.
But next week...
You could have heard his dulcet tones in person.
Next week, I'm going up to NorCal, and I'm going to hang out with Adam and Ross again.
NorCal? Cool. Don't you mean another place, Steven?
Where the Bay Area?
The Bay Area.
Yeah, they always say the Bay Area, don't they? Or...
Hello, Frisco.
But they're not in Frisco. They're in, like, San Jose or somewhere around there?
They're in... Well, I don't know how they're going to pronounce it. We pronounce it Rodeo here, Rodeo.
Rodeo? I thought it was Rodeo Drive in L.A., but there's a Rodeo in the Bay Area, too?
Yes, sir.
But here in Texas, it's called Rodeo, Bill. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it's Rodeo here, too.
Rodeo!
But I'll be in Napa.
I think it's only on the West Coast that they call it Rodeo, because they don't want to sound like hillbillies.
A gay rodeo champion.
I don't blame them.
Oh, that'd be cool to see those dudes again. I bet they're going crazy and stuff, man. Those guys are off the hook. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I chatted with
I don't know
our text
about,
with Adam on Monday or Tuesday. Maybe both. Who knows? I can't remember anymore.
Wow, that's a bad memory.
Well, it worked a lot, so...
Hey, what is going on here, huh?
Steven doesn't know. He doesn't remember.
I don't know. Memory bad.
Hey, Bill, would you celebrate Halloween at all where you're at? Do trick-or-treaters even come way out there where you live?
No, no. Well, you gotta remember, I'm...
You're kind of in the country, right?
Yeah, I'm out in the country, but I don't really live in a subdivision, like a neighborhood. I have a street, and each home is, like, separated by, like, anywhere from 5 to 50 acres. So it just, you know, it's, no, there's never any kids. There's no one, I think there's kids that live on the street. My next-door neighbors across the street that I'm friendly with have two little ones, but I think that's pretty much it. So, no, I think most kids would have to do, like, a trunk-or-treat at their school or, at, like, the church or something around here.
You know, next week, because, you know, Halloween kind of, it's not on a Friday, which would be convenient. It's like, what is it, on Wednesday or something?
I believe.
Yeah, it's Wednesday or Thursday.
Or Thursday, but trunk-or-treat is on Wednesday this year at Emma's school. And we volunteered both of our cars to be in Trunk or Treat. I don't know what we were thinking. So
are you going to decorate them?
Yeah. We're going to do, like, these stick-on decals. They're not stickers. It's just, like, you know, like static.
Vinyl stickers.
Yeah, vinyls. And use the cotton spider web stuff. It's going to be really lame. We're not going to do anything nuts or anything. But
you did that last year. Y'all decorated your car last year.
Yeah, yeah. Steven, you were actually there for it. But what's funny is, basically, you get a shitload of candy at this thing, right?
Right.
And then the next night is going to be Halloween. Emma's going to be, like, rolling in candy.
Candy.
But you know what I saw on the news? You know, the weather here? People take weather, the news guys, Bill, I'm sure they do where you live, they take the weather very seriously. You know, like...
Not the guy, really.
The guy says, this could be the coldest Halloween in years. And I was like, oh God. Shit. I want to be up there. But
it was pretty chilly last year.
We're running mid-30s to low-40s here in Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, we wouldn't go outside.
63
if it was
right
cold.
Now here.
Yeah, that's freaking balmy. Here it's, I think, yeah, it's 42.
You know what's funny is last year at the trunk or treat is they say trunk or treat, come bring your kids out and get candy from 6 to 7 or something like that. Well, some people are like, oh, we'll show up like 6:45 or something. Dude, the candy's gone by then because
all the kids
do is they keep going around in circles and circles over and over again until they have all the candy. And so last year, parents complained. And, you know, we were involved in it, and I thought that was lame. It's like, get there earlier, asshole. Don't give a... They should not complain. They should just be expect it, you know? Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how much candy run... How many candy runs can you go through? And it's all... You're not getting... You're spending your own money on it, so screw that.
No.
Yeah. No. You eat shit for breakfast.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not 42. It's 39.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
I love Shooter. He gets he's not clever, is he?
I wonder if he's still in prison.
Yeah, he probably is.
He probably doesn't have the money for bail.
Oh, he got bail that night, don't you think? He's probably rolling in dough.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Gilmore money. You know, that thing airs on Comedy Central every Saturday, Bill. So he's got...
Does it really?
$16 check every couple of weeks.
$16 check every Saturday. Woohoo!
Yes! Booze money.
Christopher McDonald. He's always good, isn't he? Remember, he was the asshole in Thelma and Louise. Thelma, you best get your butt home right now. He was that guy, the abusive husband. So he's always good at playing the dick. Wouldn't that be weird? Like, so many people, they want to be actors, you know, and they probably picture, I'm going to be a leading man. I'm going to be James Bond. But you end up being a dick in all the movies you're in.
Yeah.
You're the abusive husband. You need to slap this actress around.
Husband kind of quality to you.
Yeah, what the hell?
Stephanie's doing it again. He's messaging me during the show.
Who's doing that? Severin?
Severin.
What the hell, man?
Don't turn your back on me.
Well, hey, Bill, what are you doing right now on Friday at 8 o'clock?
I'm listening to you on the show.
But now I got a new reason, kicking your ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, we have some voicemails. Do you guys want to play those right now?
Yes, sir.
Would that be pretty cool and stuff?
That would be awesome.
I think it would be moderately entertaining.
Moderately. Okay, our first one is from JF. Good morning, JF. What's that a reference to, Stephen? Go. I know Bill knows it, right? Good morning, JF.
No, I don't even know it.
Home again, jiggity jig. Good.
I got
good
it.
Good evening, JF. Maybe they say good evening. I'm messing it up.
Yeah, I really don't know. I can't place it.
Well, it's Udinasha, of course, or JF Sebastian.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh.
From Braid Runner.
Illegal! You not coming here!
Okay, whatever. Here we go. Udinasha. Hey, what's up, dude?
Hi. This is JF from Montreal. Just want to say hi to you guys and to wish a happy birthday to Jason on Saturday.
Oh,
hope
thanks.
You enjoy yourself. If you play in his voicemail after the 26th, then I hope you got a lot of cool games that you can discuss on the show.
Oh,
have
too.
A great show, guys.
Thanks, man. That was nice of you. Thanks for the birthday wishes. That would be cool to get games. I don't usually get games. My wife doesn't endorse that behavior. It's funny because 1 year she finally broke it. She got me Arkham City.
Nice.
The only bad thing is that I never played it, Bill. And she's like, have you ever played that Batman game? And I was like, yeah, I have. Yeah.
It's I actually liked Arkham City more than Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. I finally busted open and I started playing with Emma watching me. And I like playing as Catwoman because she's pretty. She's sexy.
She can really move across the building.
She got tight clothes on. Why does it sound like Forrest Gump? Like perverted Forrest Gump?
I bet she likes shrimp.
Bubba, she's hot. Wait, Bubba's dead. Wouldn't that be creepy if Forrest
Gump... No, he still talks to Bubba.
He talks to dead Bubba.
He even talks to Jenny.
But if he was like, look at the ass on her, dead Bubba.
Jenny, he's so smart, Jenny. He's so smart.
Poor Forrest.
No.
Oh.
Jenny had the AIDS.
Hey, come on. They never say that, Bill. She dies of a mystery illness.
Oh, okay.
No, it's AIDS, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Poor Jenny.
Jenny, don't put that needle in your arm.
It's getting more disturbing. Dragon, Jenny.
Jenny, make my coffee. Kiss my grits.
What?
Just because she was a waitress.
Oh.
You're in big
yeah,
trouble.
Yeah, it took
though,
a, that was a really roundabout kind of way to get there.
I get it. Mel Sharples is your boss. It's like, what? Vera, she's kooky. I don't know what
who's
I'm doing.
This new lady whose husband beat her.
Hey, it's Linda Lavin, unless it's a movie. It's Ellen Burstyn.
It's Ellen Burstyn.
All right, this is the worst impression I've ever done.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
No.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a Hannah voicemail, guys.
Jenny, it's Christopher Walken.
I like your impression, Forrest. Forrest Gump doing Christopher Walken. I love
exactly.
it. That's awesome. All right, here's a Hannah impression. I mean voicemail. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys, it's Hannah. Just a quick voicemail to say welcome back to the airwaves. It's lovely to see that there's a new podcast to listen to. I've missed you guys. Also to say I completely agree with Darren, who called in to say that if you get a chance, have a look at Great British Bake Off. It's quite funny and the presenters really make it. It's a hell of a lot better than Cake Boss. So yeah, anyway, I hope you
hey!
All bye.
How dare you, Hannah? How dare you insult Buddy the Lost?
In a refrigerated box truck.
Now I'm
it's
like
cold in there.
Hannah, thank you so much for that voicemail. That's really cool.
You're such a super lady.
Yeah, you are. Mike Yanagita likes you too. That guy.
I'm so lonely.
He's so lonely. I love that guy.
Yeah, I need to download those British Bake Offs.
I always liked you so much.
Oh, yeah, totally. I want to see that. I would totally check that out. You know, they had, like, the American Greatest Baker or whatever. And that
with Jeff Foxworthy.
Yeah, it was so lame. And the only thing amusing was that one time that Leia couldn't say all.
Far.
She said all or far.
I find myself doing that, though, lately. Like, I do it, maybe because it's like a subconscious kind of parody of it. But I always find myself going, I'm going to go set a far.
Far. You know,
just to be an asshole, I guess. I don't know.
O-I-L. Owl.
Oh.
O-I-L. Oh. That lady's dumb. She's real dumb.
O-I-L. Owl.
Wow.
Oh.
You're such a super lady.
Yeah, she's a super lady. What am I thinking? Okay, we have another voicemail. This one from Rick. Would you guys like to hear from the Rick?
Yes.
The Rickles. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's good to have you guys back. Whenever it is, it's like, I've got a new episode. Today's going to be a good day. And it always is. And I love the last two shows. They were really, really top-notch, guys.
Oh,
always cracking me up. It's great. So, anyway, Breaking Bad's over. It was such a good show, and I loved the end. And a friend of mine, she hadn't seen it, so I was like, you got to start watching The Breaking Bad. And I watched the first couple of episodes of the series with her, and I was just like, I've got to watch it all over again because it's just so damn good. And very early on, first episode is just amazing. And you're just like, how did they get this good from the very beginning? They knew where they were going. Well, I don't know if they knew, but it looks like they knew where they were going. And just little things that you're like, holy shit, that's amazing that then in episode one they established these kind of things. I can't remember now, but I was like, this is pretty freaking good show. No wonder I watched it from the very beginning. So anyway, it's just a shame that it's gone, but I'm going to have to rewatch it all now because it's such a good show. So get into it if you rewatch it because it's beautiful and stuff. Anyway, have a great show, and it's just great to have yous around, and it's beautiful and stuff. Okay, bye, guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rick, very much. Thanks for the kisses. You know what's funny is I know this much that Vince Gilligan has said, is that he didn't have it all planned out. In fact, even as far as the season premiere of season 5, when he opens the trunk and the M60s in it, Bill, he had no idea what would happen with that later on.
Wow.
They didn't have it planned. They write themselves up to an idea and then they figure it out. And the writers were so good how they all sit in a room and they basically argue and stuff until they get it out the way they want and they all agree on it. Kind of like 12 angry men writing a TV show.
Nice.
And that's why it's so, like, it's...
Well, with that many people, you got to think out problems, too. If somebody said they'll find the hole in your problem, I guess.
Because, you know, their main character is such a smart person. They're like, he can figure his way out of this. What's the solution? Let's paint him in a corner. Now he has to get out. And that's basically, like, writing is all about that. It's interesting. You put yourself in a corner. How do you get out? There's so many shows that don't feel like that at all, or the characters aren't consistent. They act different from episode. Like, why are they doing this? Because the writers needed them to. But Breaking Bad is probably the most consistently good show, written show. I'm speaking proper grammar here, that I've ever seen. It's just so, like, on the money every episode. I would say throughout its whole run, if there were any, like, lackluster episodes, probably maybe two in the entire run, and I didn't even think that. I'm just telling you what other people, all the time I would watch an episode and be blown away, Bill, and read somebody go, wow, that was a yawn fest, and I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
It always happens.
No.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute, but that was a great show. You're right, Rick. Thank you very much. What about you, Bill?
What about me?
You like the Breaking Bad, too?
Yeah, I love the Breaking Bad.
No, you're in it for your life, man.
I don't know how I ended up watching it. I can't really remember if anybody recommended it to me, so I just kind of jumped in and started watching it, and then I couldn't stop. Like,
and that's what
I
it is, yeah.
Those first 7 episodes, and then it ends on that kind of cliffhanger with
yeah, it ends on a holy shit moment, like, what? And then yeah, you're like, holy shit, season 2, episode 1, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, and it picks right up from there. I was, and then from that point on, I was just hooked, and I hated watching it live, because I ended up watching it live the last 2 seasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was painful.
Because I watched, even like up to season 8, you got those first 8 episodes for me. So I watched the final 8 on AMC, and that sucked, because I'd been watching it on Netflix, no commercials, no waiting, one after the other, on demand, however I want to watch it. Like, I would watch, like, 4 episodes in a day, and I'd go, okay, tomorrow, after Emma's in school, you know, or I'm going to start up again, I'm going to watch as many episodes as I can. You know, if I do this right after I drop her off, then I'll have time. Maybe I can watch 5 episodes or something like that. It was crazy how you devour them, but it's just so awesome. Good show.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that you just can't get enough of it. It's like blue meth.
We need Steven to watch the entire run. Episode 1, season 1, Steven.
Yes.
That sounds like a commitment. I will.
You're totally not going to do it.
No, he's not.
I can tell. You're patronizing me.
I hate Breaking Bad.
No!
It had already gotten into the middle before I ever heard anything about it, so there was no sense.
Well, you need the whole box set Blu-rays, right, Bill? That one that comes in, like, the big...
I have them all except the last 8, and I want that so bad.
What is it? It's a barrel, right?
Hmm?
It's a money barrel,
basically? Yeah, it's one of his money barrels.
That's sweet.
Okay. And, like, the back of it opens up, and each section is separated. I don't know how big it is, but it's just irresistible. I want it, but it's so expensive.
How much is it?
It's like $250, I think.
Ooh, wow. Steven, you can afford that. Go ahead and pick that up.
Why not? Wealthy here.
All right. We got our final voicemail. Let's check this out. This one's not labeled, actually. It's a mystery voicemail. You guys ready for this? It's not Mystery Man. Whatever happened to that guy?
Who was that guy?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. He was a mystery.
Who's that mysterious man?
It's all a mystery. All right. Let's check this out.
Hello. I am calling for this thing, entertainment landmine. And let me state my intentions, okay? Okay. My name is Eugene Starkiller, and I am from Diverse. Now, I have an extremely large bone to pick with you people. I, in my life, have never heard such an incredible, ridiculous rip-off. I have been away from the internet for a short, brief time. And I come back to find my friends from a podcast called Nowhere in Mulberry gone. They are gone. I can't find a trace of them. Instead, through some links on my browser, I come to this Entertainment Landmine podcast, and I give it a listen. And, oh, my God, I can't even believe what a ripoff. You sound exactly like Nowhere in Mulberry. Your voices are the same. The plot lines are identical. The situational comedy is very similar. And I'm aghast with this.
Comedy.
I can't even believe the copy ripoff that this is doing. I can't believe it. So, on behalf of my good friends, Jason and Bill and Archie, I would like to ask you to cease and persist all recording activities because you are stealing. You are copying and ripping off. I plan on getting a petition for a lawsuit together. I will seek a grand injunction jury notice. Grand jury notice to prevent any further damage to to the time continuum. Are you kidding me? And now I'm cut off? You just cut my voicemail off. It cut my voice off before, and I couldn't even finish my point. See? Rip-off artists. Assholes. Anyway, back to my point. A grand injunction jury is coming down on you for ripping off my friends in Mulberry with your entertainment landmine. Now, listen. Expect all activities to cease. Okay? I will bring some sort of overt jurisprudence down on you, and I will terminate with extreme prejudice everything that you are doing here. So, stop this. I can't believe you're doing this. No more laughing and joking around at the expense of Nowhere Mulberry. This entertainment landmine must stop. You must stop doing their voices. You must stop doing their funny jokes and comedies and talking about shows about cake makers and this and that and that. Rip off.
Oh, jeez.
Gross.
Okay. That's not for me. My present thoughts are with the real Jason and Bill and Archie picking up and stop ripping them off. And I hate you, and good day, sir. Good day. Eugene Starkiller signing out. Good day.
Does he have emphysema?
God. Wow, I guess he hasn't figured out that we're the same show. But it's nice to know he cares, right, Archie?
Yes. I wish Steven's name really was Archie.
That would be cool.
I'll change it.
With Archie, the pop culture zealot.
Is it PCZ Archie? and you, well, you can be Reggie. I'll be Jughead.
Oh, that would be awesome. You'd wear that crown all the time.
Yeah. I've a crown somewhere around here.
You'd be scamming for burgers all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Burgers.
I think my father was named Blimpy.
I always liked you.
Gladly pay a Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Well, thank you. Where's that, Wimpy? Oh, wait, yeah.
Or Wimpy, Blimpy, I don't know.
Wait a second. Yeah, Wimpy. Blimpy?
I don't know what the F I was thinking. Blimpy.
Oh, my God.
There's a Blimpy burger. That's why I was thinking of it. Okay.
See, I didn't know what you were talking about. You were talking about Wimpy, though, on Popeye, right?
Yes.
I gladly pay you too.
Yeah, I got it. The because there was a Blimpy burger in Michigan that got screwed up.
Blimpy's sub shop.
I guess you
here.
Think you're, like an authority figure?
Or they used to, anyways.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for all the voicemail. We appreciate it. Let's get into entertainment. Woo! And, you know, that was Eugene Starkiller, so I guess we should say thank you, Eugene.
Yes, thank you, Eugene.
Bill, you saw the Riff Trax event of Night of the Living Dead last time.
I did. It was funny. It was really well done. It was a lot more adult than I expected. Normally, they straddle that line, but they went beyond it last night. There were some very adult-oriented and just in-your-face jokes.
Whoa. That's cool. I wish I would have been there. I'm kind of pissed that I couldn't. I was feeling like shit last night.
Well, like I told you today. They're going to release that online. Like they do with almost every one of their live things except Starship Troopers. It's available online, like a week later.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool that, like... usually, like, when we went to Starship Troopers, Steven, you were there.
Right.
It was my dad, Laura, Severin, Gage, even though Gage didn't want to sit next to us. But that was pretty cool. But, hey, Night of the Living Dead, did they get some good jokes out of that?
There was some really good carpentry jokes because just the constant...
Hammering.
A lot of cricket jokes because of the constant... cricket sounds in the score or the soundtrack. The opening was very funny with Barbara and what was her brother's name?
coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah, there was a lot of really great jokes about his driving gloves.
Yeah. Then,
when the one zombie shows up, they're making a joke, and then he goes, "Hey, I just buried my wife." You know, just stuff that it was really, there were some really funny, funny moments. Moment where they made a beating off joke when the sheriff's being interviewed by Bill Cardill, the reporter. And he goes, "Yeah, we're going to go in there and beat off those ghouls." And they're like, "You're going to what?" You know, and it just kept, the hand job jokes just kept coming. It was,
you know what,
just, it was insane. It was really funny.
Night of the Living Dead has a lot of stuff you could totally make fun of, but I always was creeped out by it because I saw it as a kid, and it still kind of creeps me out to this day. It's kind of... Can you
imagine? Yeah, I mean, it is. It can be. It never really was that scary for me because I just always thought it was cheesy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is. Especially when they cut away to the newscast, it looks so cheesy. You know, the guys in the, like, out.
Man
on the street.
Like, the one guy, the sheriff has, like, four cigars in his hat. And then, oh, when the dogs are brought out, they're like, "Rombies? Oh, where's the Rombies?" Like, there are some really obvious jokes. And then,
I gotta check that out.
With Barbara, how she's basically a mute for the first 20 minutes and then won't shut up and then won't stop chewing the scenery. And, like, we liked it better when she was quiet.
Yeah, can you talk about overacting? Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was a lot whenever the family with the daughter in the basement shows up, and the guy just always hates everything. Everyone complains about everything, and they would always make it like a growling, complaining sound whenever the camera was on him. And there would be those shots where it would go from like face to face of the people there. And then it would always end on Barbara's, and they would just make a line like, "I like raisins." You know, just, it was just nonsensical hilarity. It was really well done. It was probably their best live riff that I've seen.
Wow, nice.
Yeah.
You know, after you saw that, you went to see a real movie.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend Cole and I did a double feature, and we went from one of the funniest things we've seen to quite possibly the most disturbing film I've seen in a very long time. Ridley Scott's The Counselor. And
that's,
it's
so strange.
It's a Cormac McCarthy written film, his first original screenplay. It's very, very pulpy. Deals with kind of that, one of those wheeling dealing Texas high powered lawyers, who gets involved with something he shouldn't, but because he wants more from life, he decides to, and the decision takes him down a very, very, very bad road.
Wow. I never would have thought it was disturbing just from seeing the commercials and stuff, but I guess...
I know. I thought it was going to be kind of an action-oriented, maybe, drug espionage kind of thing, and it just... totally blew my mind. The entire run of it, all I could think of was Breaking Bad. The way it dealt with, like, there's always, it starts with something that is going to relate to the story, but you really have no idea how it is going to end up relating.
Right.
And it keeps going back to it as the story progresses. And then finally, in the last 20 minutes, if you have the patience to stay, because... there was probably 10 to 12 people in the theater with Cole and I, and by the last 20 minutes, the last two people were walking out.
Wow. So there's walkouts in this movie.
Yeah, this is a walkout movie. It's one of those achingly slow character moments, like a lot of really great monologues and dialogue, just fantastic stuff, like just oozing with like existential references and dread and death and life, and it's really, really intense. Everything about it is intense, but people are either going to love it or hate it, and I straddle that line of I loved it for just the technical quality. The acting was amazing, the writing was fantastic, everything about it made it a great movie. But I never want to see it again. Ever.
Wow.
Ever. I saw it once. That's all I need.
What would you compare it to? Like, to for me to know, like, what kind of movie is it? Like an Oliver Stone movie, how it's good, but you never want to sit through that shit again, kind of. Or...
Yeah, in the best way, like an Oliver Stone movie with Cormac McCarthy's writing. So think like. This is like it's No Country for Old Men in a way, but it's darker. It goes to a darker place than that ever could have.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really intense. I have a really hard time recommending it. In fact, there was a review I found online that the guy said it's an amazing film. It's acting, directing, everything about it is fantastic. But he has a really difficult time recommending it to anyone because it's just that painful.
Wow. Yeah, I read an interview. I read a review on Ain't It Cool News by Capone.
Uh-huh.
And he couldn't get past the fact that he kept saying, nobody talks like this. They don't talk like real
people. What the hell is wrong? It's Cormac McCarthy. It's like, it's a play in a way. It's... You know, just the depth that they... I love that. I love how they talk in it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, he couldn't get past that.
That's too bad, because, I mean, I know there's been reviews like the New York Times loved it. Richard Roper gave it an A+. Wow. I mean, there's a lot of people that really appreciate it for what it is, and it's pulpy. It's a book. It is a book in movie form.
Why didn't he write it as a book, do you wonder?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Without commas in it.
Yeah, well, apparently the way he wrote his script, he didn't use any punctuation either.
Are you serious? How does he get away with that? He totally would have failed English in high school.
I know. I don't know how he gets away with it. Maybe he's just too tired to use them. I don't know.
It's like E.E. Cummings. Like, I don't want to capitalize the first two letters in my name. It's lowercase E.E. or some shit like that. You know? How do you get away with that?
He's a winning. I don't know what he's won. He's won plenty of awards. He's, you know, he's
appreciated either.
Oh, you mean Cormac McCarthy? I was talking about E.E. Cummings. E.E. Cummings is just a douche, right?
Probably at the time they were thinking that. It's like it wasn't until year, you know, he was dead. They were like, not bad.
There's two letters for a first name. What an asshole.
That's interesting, though, that you make me intrigued by telling me how disturbing it is, but
I would love for people to see it only because it deserves to be experienced in that, like, captive audience mode.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly, when my friend and I walked out of the theater, we just kept going, wow. Wow, what the F did we just see? What? I was shaking. Like, my hands were shaking.
Do you mean, like, graphic violence or what? Graphic violence?
Just this... Well, it's incredibly graphic. Oh, Jesus, is it graphic. But those moments are few and far between, and the buildup, just that the dread... And then when it finally does happen, it's so horrific that it stains you. Like you feel dirtier than dirty. Like to actually see that level of darkness, that level of evil, like no empathy whatsoever. It's just stark, pitch dark blackness.
And was it crazy to see a Ridley Scott film like this?
It was, because Ridley Scott, the way, you know, he knows how to, like, milk atmosphere. But this was a Ridley Scott film in the vein of Tony Scott. Because when you got to these different characters, especially, like, the higher-ups, like the character that Javier Bardem plays, this Rainer... He lives in this nightclub world with all these beautiful people and beautiful places, and he owns two cheetahs that he and his girlfriend use to hunt jackrabbits in the desert and stuff like that. Like, it's very Tony Scottish. And it, you know, you almost think that he probably, I would have liked to have seen how he handled it. Mm-hmm. Because he seems to be a little more overt in his style, whereas Ridley kind of holds back a little bit, but you could tell he was kind of putting on those little
Tony Scott flourishes at moments, kind of as like a respect to his brother. I should have stuck around during the credits, but it was already like a half hour past midnight.
Wouldn't it
and I
be
just
disturbing if like the most, well, the most disturbing film he's ever made and he like dedicated to his brother?
I know, really. That's what I was thinking too, yeah.
For my brother.
But it was, I mean, it was obvious. It was very obvious that it was, you know, he was emulating his brother.
Interesting, cool.
But, I mean, I can't help but recommend it. I just have a really hard time doing it because people are not going to like what they experience. They're just not going to like it. I didn't like it.
You've done a sufficient job in warning us. I know my dad is excited to see it because Cormac McCarthy is his favorite author. He tells me that all the time.
Well, you know what? If he loves Cormac McCarthy, he will. This will take him on one hell of a trip.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, Bad Grandpa, have you seen that yet?
No. But I'll tell you what, that theater was packed last night.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my God. You should have saw the line for the people lined up for that. They sold out.
Bad Grandpa. There was
12 people, including me and my friend, in ours. It was like to capacity.
Wow.
Yeah. That's going to make big money this weekend. It might finally knock Gravity off the number one.
Oh, what a shame.
But I know, really.
Captain America's trailer came out this week. The Winter Soldier.
Man, wow.
Dude, it looks bad out, yo. Steven, did you get to watch that?
Yes, I watched the British one.
Well, that's what it was. Trailer. It was the UK trailer.
The UK.
Yeah.
I'm excited,
I didn't know if there was
man.
Another one, but that one said UK trailer.
Yeah, that line when Cap says to... shit. Why am I blanking on his name? Nick Fury. When he goes, this isn't freedom, this is fear. And I was like, whoa, that's Cap. We're getting real Captain America now.
You could tell, like, in The Avengers, he was kind of, like, uneasy about all this S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. And how they, you could tell he's like, it almost seems a little, like, the military, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. has too much power, and he can see that. It's kind of... Scary.
Yeah, they're kind of like, they're doing their kind of precog crime fighting.
If I can remember, in the comic books, Avengers did break away eventually, I think, from like S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that. They're like, we're our own thing, we're not part of you. Maybe I just think that, I don't know. But it seems like they weren't part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think you might be right. I know, like, that whole Civil War thing goes down and
they pretty much rebel against it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not, like, at your beck and call anymore.
I wish I was more knowledgeable of it all that went down.
Yeah,
but
there's so many years of story, it's hard to keep track of all
yeah,
of it,
you
know?
Could never do it without just dedicating yourself to one subject.
Yeah, the last Avengers story I read in a comic book was, like, when I was a teenager, you know?
And do you think they're going to finally get Reb Brown in this one?
That would be sweet. That would be
like
funny.
Maybe be like, what was the Captain America 2, Death Too Soon or something? It was just, that was the one with Christopher Lee.
They show him in his van, just driving.
Yeah, bursts out of the back of the van.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sweet. But yeah, I'm really excited about Captain America, and Thor comes out in November.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think, I saw a new trailer, I think it was... An updated trailer for, crap, never mind, I can't
for
remember.
Thor?
Huh?
An updated trailer for Thor?
Yeah, it was the newer one for Thor, but there was one before that I was like, oh, hey, that looks much better than the initial trailer,
oh,
and
I know
I
what
can't
you're
remember
about.
What it
it's
was.
It's the Ronin movie with Keanu Reeves, right?
No.
What do you think of that?
I think that'll be fun.
I think either it'll be pretty badass or it'll be a convoluted mess.
It looks like it'll be fun.
It does. It looks pretty badass and stuff, but I'm like, this looks
How
really cool, but they
it?
Might be showing us all the cool parts and the movie will be long and incoherent, maybe.
I'm looking forward to his film, that Man of Tai Chi.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, he directed a film.
I'm sorry. See, you know...
Yeah, it's his directorial debut, and it's this badass who does Tai Chi. Like, just it look, the trailer looks sweet. I'll check that out after the show.
Yeah,
sounds pretty cool. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about all those Marvel movies and stuff. And
yeah, I'm really excited for the Captain America film now. I didn't know what to think, and just that trailer just kind of blew my mind. Like, wow, that's a Captain America movie right there.
You know, what's funny is about the first Captain America is they had to have it in the past because that's the setup of his story. I like now that, like, boom, they can get right into modern day Cap being a badass. Just like Thor, the first movie had to, like, set it all up. But now this, it looks like it mostly, from what I can tell, takes place in his world and not Earth. Because that's the main thing, is Thor is so incredible when he's in his own world, too. Mm-hmm. Like, in the Avengers movies, he can be back here. But also, shit in Asgard, that stuff is cool. Like, and they need to introduce Beta Ray Bill and all that. And I know they're going to do Guardians of the Galaxy, so they're spreading out more into the universe in the Marvel movies.
Yeah, and I'm definitely looking forward to Guardians, because it just keeps sounding cooler.
Yeah, see, I'm aware of the Guardians of Galaxy, but I really don't know much about them.
I know nothing, next to nothing. I just know the characters. I know the one character, the tree, is it Gort? No, Gort is yeah, that's the wrong character, sorry.
Is that from Be the Earth Sit Still?
Yeah, the robot that protects the ship, yeah. Klaatu Barada Nikto, he's not in that.
I just know the Rocket Raccoon guy or whatever.
No, it's the tree guy.
Oh.
He always just says I am in his name. Like, there's nothing. Shit, what is his name? I'm going to have to look it up now.
I know there's Star-Lord and somebody else, but I know, like, on the Avenger cartoon, Emma watched that for a while, the Mighty Avengers, they had them on it.
Oh, nice.
I was entertained by it. I was like, oh, you know, these are the guys going to have their own movie. I'm curious to see what it's like. The effects.
Groot. I was close.
Which one does Vin Diesel do the... Is it
He's doing Groot.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Remember, like, Vin Diesel meets with Marvel executives, you guys. Oh, shit. Like, let me blog this shit.
Yeah, what were they saying he was going to be? It was just something really stupid. And
he's going to play some Marvel villain.
Some Marvel asshole.
He's going to be Ultron.
Yeah, right.
He's not going to be Ultron. That would be the weakest Ultron voice ever. I forgot. Who's going to be Ultron?
James Spader.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. Now that I'm watching The Blacklist, his voice is so perfect.
Yeah. Is it?
What I love his character on Blacklist is he always does this laugh where people accuse him, you know, you're a bastard, and I know you're going to take this for yourself. And he goes, you know me so well. You know, he just says, like, these funny things with a laugh. I love it. But that's cool. What do you say we get into What's on Our TiVo, and I'm going to urinate soon, Bell?
Okay.
All right, let's do it. Woo-hoo! Good times and great wine, you guys. sorry. I was putting some lip balm on, just so if you guys were imagining.
Balmy.
Now, you know, for weeks in a row, I've been torturing you guys with Arsenio monologues. I decided not to do that anymore.
And why?
Here's the reason. Because I finally found the joke. One joke. That's all I'm going to play that will make you laugh and will say goodbye to Arsenio forever. I finally found it. The joke that's going to make Steven and Bill laugh. It's going to make you guys laugh.
All right, play it.
Put up your defenses. I don't care. It's going to crack you guys up. Are you guys ready for this?
I am ready.
I'm ready to be disappointed.
And then once you laugh, we're done with Arsenio. Okay, ready? Here we go, Steven. I want your full attention. Bill?
Okay.
I'm here.
All right, here we go.
Hey, here's a cool story. Mark Wahlberg has finally gotten his high school diploma. Now you can scream. Yes. His high school diploma at 42. In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten. Yeah. Let's give him an applause and a scream. He get a scream?
What does that have anything to do with anything else? I'm so confused right now.
Why are you laughing, Bill?
Why does that have it? I don't get it. I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes zero freaking sense.
So Mark Wahlberg, he got his GED at age 42, which is great.
I thought it was going to be like a Good Vibrations joke or something. I don't know, but I what?
All right. Okay, let's listen to it again, okay?
No!
It hurts. I think we missed something in the translation. Let's check this out.
Hey, here's a cool story. Mark Wahlberg has finally gotten his high school diploma. Now you can scream. Yeah. Yeah. His high school diploma at 42. In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten. Yeah. Let's give him an applause. And a scream. He can scream?
That's so stupid. I don't understand.
Why is he insulting Vin Diesel?
What poor Vin Diesel. What did he ever do to
Vin Diesel do to him?
In another story, Vin Diesel graduated.
I'm so confused.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
Are they just throwing darts at a board with names and just picking? That's how they pick their punchlines?
Like, what? When I first watched this, I was recording the entire monologue. Like, oh shit, what am I going to do with this? You know. And then it was that joke, and I go, you know what? That's all I need right there.
Yeah, that's really it. That pretty much sums up everything that's so awful about that show.
Oh my god. What does it even mean? In another story.
What does it even mean?
Vin Diesel, he graduated kindergarten. What does that mean?
I've never once heard him say today,
Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
Just don't. I don't get it. I'm sorry.
Vin Diesel graduated kindergarten.
Maybe it's just too highbrow for us.
Is he dumb? I mean...
No, he's an incredible businessman.
Cool, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't understand where
it's his looks.
From.
Is he trying to say that he looks like a big baby?
I don't know.
Now you can scream.
All right, let's talk about Fangism. Fangism.
Fangism.
We've already agreed on it's the worst titled show that we've watched, right. But definitely. I love it. I enjoy the show. We've got our favorites, don't we? And yes. Okay, first of all,
I know I have my favorite.
Danny and Andrew are my favorite.
I just want Danny.
Molly gets on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
Sal is an idiot. Sal is a jackass.
Sal is a child.
Paul is a jackass, but
Paul.
He's...
Which one's Paul?
Paul's the...
He's the big guy with glasses.
Yeah.
Big guy with glasses.
He's the one that did all the movie ideas.
He sticks his...
Oh, yeah, okay. It took me a moment.
He sticks his foot in his mouth. You know what's
funny? He's the one that just flat out insulted Elvira.
Right. Yeah, what's funny is he, you know, she goes... He's like... I'll play this clip in a bit, but as an example of... He likes to correct people, and I notice this. They don't call attention to it in the show. I just notice him doing it where she's like, he's like, what superpower would you want? And she's like, oh, I'd love to have the web shooters, and like, oh, you know, like Spider-Man. He goes, that's not a power. They're like things he makes in the comics.
Jesus.
And Andrew's like, dude, what are you doing?
He is a social retard.
Well, later on, when he's around all those slave Leia girls... Mm-hmm. Did you notice that? He's talking to the hot blonde chick. She's dressed like Leia. And he goes, technically, Leia had no leopard print on her outfit. He's like telling her. And it's just like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, stop. You know, he just can't help himself. But in this first clip here, okay, you remember last week we were talking about how they showed Molly and Kristen. They were supposed to have passed out the flyers. We were like, nothing ever happened with that.
They didn't get caught.
Yes, they do in this episode. Oh. What's funny is Mike, the resident black guy, which I don't know why I have to bring that up.
He's just an asshole, honestly. Yeah. He's the resident asshole.
It's so weird that why does he defend Molly here? I don't
know. I don't get what
get
you know
pants.
What. Maybe because he thinks he has a chance with her, but she's
she's a basket case. She does not want to.
She
get
is all over the place, all over the place.
Who do you guys think should be the intern? Danny, Kristen, and she's like, Well, that really hurts. Nobody said my name.
She's a little obsessed with herself.
I did think that Harry Potter's store was kind of cool. Like, how much
that
money?
That's cool.
How much money did they spend on that place, building that place?
A ton.
Yeah, that was crazy. All right, let's check out this first clip, guys. And I'm going to get upset when she gives Molly a hard time.
Lucky coin landed on Tails. Everybody knew it was going to be a disaster.
So, Chris and Molly, you guys did E3. Did you guys have fun?
Yeah, we had a great time. We were, like, running around like right crazy now, girls. We had such a blast.
Awesome.
We passed out a ton of flyers.
Yeah,
and
so many.
We got you some business cards.
So you guys passed out the flyers and got business cards?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because when I walk by the video game museum, there's a stack of flyers left.
No, we put some down for people to pick up.
Yeah, I didn't ask you to do that. What did I ask you to do?
To pass them out.
When I tell you guys to pass out flyers,
the cameraman really
you pass
told
them out.
Didn't he?
You don't leave them anywhere unless I specifically say. My flyers are expensive. Kamikaze is successful because we
glossy.
Pass things out and do things in a certain way. The fact that these four were out there busting their asses working on that octopus, and I gave you two the day off because we made a deal. Who broke that deal with me?
I f***ed up big time. Up until this point, I was really impressing her, and
job,
I'm
bitch.
So disappointed in myself, and I wish I could just bang my head against a wall or
please
rewind
do.
Time or
you
something.
Could do that.
But I didn't even realize that it was doing wrong.
Oh,
and like, past
oh
all
my God,
stuff,
and I thought
it's okay. Look.
You well knew it was wrong.
I understand. Then you learned, and then
voice.
Like, let's move forward, and now you know. This is, again, Stanley's name. So everything's for a reason, okay?
Stanley.
So let's tell me about the zombie party. So did you guys have fun at that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw the pictures. Oh. Mike, why do you look so upset?
You think it's cool to make people cry?
I didn't say it was cool to make anyone cry.
I'm not sure what's going on in Mike's head. He started with...
To make people cry.
Do you see what you're doing to her? You're breaking her down and making her cry.
It's a little scary.
She cried on her own. Asked her to do something and she didn't do it.
It's just not right. It's not right. She literally lives or dies by your breath.
Mike Reed is being stupid. He is just yelling at his boss for no reason. He's like, what are you doing? This stupid, stupid man.
I'm mostly crying because I'm disappointed in myself.
Molly is
I
so
cry.
Passionate.
No,
that actually kind of speaks words
busted.
To me right now.
It's just not right.
Cold busted.
When your boss right. tells you to do something, you do it.
Mike, I understand why she yelled at me. And I thank you for sticking up for me, but it's okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you stuck up for her, but like,
Molly,
so let's talk.
You
so,
bring it up, you did.
So what?
You asked
what?
Why I was angry and I told you.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad that you told me.
It's supposed to be a very serious topic, but the way Mike is just delivering it, it's just so over the top that we just can't help but try not to laugh.
Seeing Paul
we're putting our hands over your try not to laugh at the whole situation, but the truth is it is hysterical right now.
I'm just very ashamed and disappointed in myself. This internship means so much to me, and if I blew it because I stupidly put down like a tiny stack of flyers, I'm never going to forgive myself.
Did you?
Lobby,
it's just the
blah,
way,
blah, blah.
The way she says things, where she was talking about, you know, that we're going to do the Stanley Kamikaze party.
Yeah.
The way she said it, she goes, I go to parties all the time. I've been to so many parties. It's like,
yeah.
Do you hear the way you say that? You sound like a conceited asshole the way
yeah.
you say it. Like you're
well,
being...
it's because she's socially awkward and she tries to overcompensate.
Yeah, it's just so... like, hey guys, what are we going to do at this party? Don't worry guys, I know what to do. I go to parties all the time. I've been to so many parties with celebrities.
Me
you
and
guys.
Adrian Curry like this.
It's so funny.
No,
when...
it reminds me of what I was like in elementary school. I was so desperate to be my own person and not be, you know, the brother of three older sisters who were, you know, popular or cheerleader or, you know, whatever. So I would just like try to draw people to me and I would just lie, just say the dumbest things like, oh yeah, I got a Mortal Kombat cabinet in my bedroom. I play it all the time. Yeah, it's awesome. And then, and then whenever my friends or the friends I was trying to make would come over and be like, where's your Mortal Kombat? And it's like, oh, I sold it. Yeah, I got tired of it.
Did you ever, like,
just
forget that you said it and go, what, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, it's just, you try to compensate for, like, this perceived lack of, I don't know if you would call it courage or just you don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. So you try to make something up, and that's what she feels like.
And she didn't realize, I mean, that group of people, they're not going to judge her. They started making fun of her because she was trying too hard. She kept bringing up how she knew this person, and then they'd all go, yeah, she knows everybody, yeah. You know, because she does it all the time. But if she just would have been herself, it would have been no problem, you know?
But she doesn't know who she is.
Why
that's
are you
the
trying
problem.
To impress somebody like Sal or, you know, like...
Now, Sal needs to be someone else because he's an idiot.
I just hate his hair so much, but
you know what he who he reminds me of is the kid from Welcome Back, Cotter.
I know you're talking about.
No,
the other
Epstein.
Guy.
Oh, Juan.
Just his hair. Juan Epstein.
Juan Epstein. Yeah,
he does have.
My brother
Epstein
said he
hair.
Looked like Peter Brady.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
he looks like a cross between the two.
Was it driving you nuts the way he was macking on Danny?
It irritated me because it was so childish and she's so sweet and she's so non-judgmental that she gives him a chance. She is giving him every chance in the world. Mm-hmm. And she's a little bit charmed by it. I mean, he's paying extra attention to her. And what
he's
girl
also,
you know,
a harmless
could turn
guy.
That down?
You know, she knows he's harmless also.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's somebody to make out with while you're there, I guess. Who's she going to make out with? Paul or Mike?
Andrew.
Andrew's girlfriend. Andrew's spoken for.
Andrew's not interested.
You could always go. She could go for Molly.
Mm-hmm.
I know Molly's bi-curious.
I know Molly, she has a chocobo on one shoulder. Is that Alaska?
Yeah, Alaska.
On her other shoulder? Is that Alaska?
Uh-huh. Because
I started wondering, I hope that's not like some area on the map of, you know, Lord of the Rings on Middle Earth or something.
God.
Well,
it's bad enough she has a chocobo on her arm.
Yeah, she has a chocobo.
I mean, I can't. I'm not a Final Fantasy guy. I've tried and tried and tried.
That's the whole thing. The whole point of the show is be who you are, but she's, like, overcompensating so much.
Yeah.
It's just like.
It's really kind of sad. I mean, when you look at someone like Danny, she's got her shit together. I think that's why I find her so attractive, is that she knows what she likes, and she knows what she wants, and she's adorable.
And, you know, Kristen was her own person, too. She didn't even come out to me too much on the show, like, personality-wise, because she just kind of chilled out in the background.
Right. Yeah. She was really nice.
She didn't need the limelight.
Yeah, she didn't at all. She took a back seat most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, the people that really got the limelight were the disasters.
Mm-hmm. But Andrew still cracks me up. Something about him, I just thought, I like his laid-back attitude, and he just
right.
kind of says funny stuff.
He's confident without being overconfident.
Yeah.
It's just the right amount.
And, like, I think Sal, like, he's harmless, and he's a jackass. Paul, he's like, he's too smart for his own good or something. Like he's always
playing
out.
That's exactly what it is. He reminds me of like those AV nerds that I would go to school with that just flaunted their knowledge.
Yeah. And he's always red all the time.
Yeah.
You notice
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Like he looks really red, especially when he's talking
the
to
Elvira thing.
To Cassandra Peterson. Yeah. He gets really red. And that reminds me of me. Like I turn red when I'm embarrassed, but he was like really red.
See Cassandra Peterson without hearing the story she told about Tom Jones on the Howard Stern show like 20 years ago.
Oh, I don't know with that.
Well, she was a showgirl in Las Vegas, and Tom Jones took her back to his hotel room and basically destroyed her nether region.
Oh my God!
I guess he is that large and in charge. What's new, pussycat? Ouchie, ouchie, ouchie. But there was like a driver that took her to the hospital and just dropped her off at the corner.
What the hell?
I know!
You know what? I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but did you ever seen Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, the movie?
Hell yes.
I love that movie.
That's a fun movie.
And while she was on there, I was remembering parts of it, and I really think that movie's hilarious, and I looked for clips of it, but I couldn't find anything but the trailer. There's this part that always cracked me up as a kid where she picks up this creepy guy, hitchhiker, and he's like, ooh, you know. So finally she kicks him out, and he's got a hatchet there, and she goes, "You forgot your hatchet," and she goes, and you hear it go, "Oh!" and he's just like thud. But I always thought that was hilarious because I love sound effects and stuff. But let's go ahead and hear Paul stick his foot in his mouth. Let's check it out.
I am so disappointed that I'm not going out to dinner with Elvira because she is one of my personal heroes. Like, what a badass.
Hey, all right, we're here. Let me toast you guys for doing a very hard day's work and getting a lot of stuff taken care of. And
you just seem like a very sophisticated, you know, like...
I do? Wow. I love that. That's the first time I've ever heard sophisticated.
At the same time, in the back of my mind, I'm like, all right, every now and then she dresses up and she pops out of coffins. And
I bet I have spent more time in coffins than anybody in the world.
Alive.
What
than anybody.
Yeah. I think I have really, I've spent either in fog or in a coffin more hours than any human alive.
What was your, like, you do a lot of the, like, really, like, crappy B movies.
Oh.
Like, no offense, but, like, you know, that's... No, like, dude, it's the most wonderful question of all time. Because nobody knows what to do. Sal and Danny are, like, astonished. I'm like, oh, my God, this is the greatest dinner of all time.
When your show ever comes on, it's like the worst movies of all time are playing with your show. Like, on purpose.
I guess.
Thanks a lot.
Your entire life's work was crappy. Oh, no, Paul.
Oh, my God.
No, I just feel so awkward again. You know, the truth is, I'm just asking her all these questions I would have always wanted to ask her. But in turn, I guess what I'm really doing is I'm just insulting her over and over and over again. I don't know how to ask this
favorite
question.
Crappy movie.
Yeah, your favorite really bad movie that played with you.
I have so many. It's hard for me to...
Yes.
If you could pick one superpower to have, what would it be?
I do like the Spider-Man thing. Bing, bing, bing.
That would be fun.
In most comics, though, it's not a power. He does that himself. Like, that's something he makes.
Shut up.
I don't know what to do. I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Paul is the most inept person I've ever met in my life. He literally just is an idiot.
You guys had to be zombies the other day?
Yeah,
we went out and dressed up as zombies.
But Paul was like, he was a survivor for the time being. He was bitten, but he's still
a human. I was like
human.
In the process of turning into a zombie.
See, Paul has eaten everyone.
And God bless Elvira because she starts firing back at Paul.
I really think you had that coming, Paul. Yeah.
Probably.
Sorry. Paul!
So you've been in some really crappy, bad movies.
No way. What are you doing, Matt?
Whatever. It's not like I'm ever going to see her again.
So you have been in a lot of really crappy movies. So of all of them,
what are the crappiest?
Yeah.
And she gives me this dirty, dirty look, and everyone's like, Paul, what did you say?
Paul!
Yeah. I am, like, so embarrassed for you.
Oh, thanks.
He's a jackass.
You know what? Not only is he a jackass, he's uninformed. Mm-hmm. Because she was in some excellent films. You know what I mean? She was in Cheech and Chong's next movie. Jekyll and Hyde together again. Stroker Ace.
She was in some great movies, but
yeah.
You know what I think he was trying to say, but he couldn't get it out was,
what's your favorite B movie?
Yeah.
You just can't, you know.
When she was doing her show, she would bookend the bad movie. She would talk about, make fun of the bad movie, and then they play it. What's your favorite movie that you covered on your show?
Yeah. He's a retard. I mean, I shouldn't be using that term, but he is. I mean,
but instead, you know,
he meant
said,
to say,
you've been
during your course of hosting your show, what was your favorite B movie?
Yeah. And it's a dumb question anyway, because does anyone really care what her favorite B movie is?
No, he's trying to make small talk, but he can't even do that.
He's just so stupid. And it's funny how he's like, I'll never see her again, but there she is there at the party. Yeah.
She's a co-investor in Kamikaze Expo.
Yeah. It's when they go and they're cleaning out that thing, it's like, what's with all the Elvira stuff? What's going on, you know? And then she shows up. You know, I have this childhood memory of us, like, at the gallery or something in California. My dad saying, that's Elvira. She was like, they're shopping. That's Elvira. It's like, you're saying it loud enough where she could hear it. But that's Cassandra Peterson. And it was funny. My dad was a big Elvira fan when I was a kid. And I didn't put two and two together at the time, but I know why now. Because her breasts are pretty much hanging out of her dress, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'm a big fan of hers.
Yeah, she hosted that, what was it? Elvira's movie Macabre, or Macabre, yeah. Macabre, mm-hmm. Macrudu. What was that called?
Something like that. Yeah. I just remember
It was like a late night thing where she hosted bad movies.
Yeah, like say, on Saturday night at midnight or something, or Friday night.
Remember her closing line was unpleasant dreams?
Unpleasant dreams.
Now, guys.
And then, of course, I mean, how can you forget the Oak Ridge Boys song? I mean, I had that on 45.
Giddy up a boom, bop a boom, bop a mow mow.
Mow Elvira.
Now, I have another clip, but I got to pee so bad. Let's take a break. And we'll be right back. What do you guys say?
Sure.
After these messages, we'll be right back. I've always wanted to say that.
Now you've said it.
All right, guys. Be right back.
What are you doing, man?
Adults! Only your Fruity Pebbles can set my spirit free.
My Fruity Pebbles? Okay.
Mmm, frighteningly fruity flavors. Thanks, Fred.
Barney!
Boo. Yeah! Bon appetit.
Post Fruity Pebbles cereal out of this complete breakfast.
Count Micro Machine Man here. I live for the night, so I carry my own light. Micro lights. Touch them like slow, they really glow, but that's not all. Try these amazing Micro Machines light to sound vehicles that come with a mighty mini building, have a real going emergency lights and make two sounds. Check out the super micro lights with lights that glow and passengers to go. Where do you play with this light and sound? Show the Combat City playset. There's a happening heliport, military lift, pivoting gun turret, and fantastic firing rocket. But look out. In case of a real emergency, get the emergency city playset. There's the fabulous lighthouse, ambulance station, rear ramp, and helipad. Micro lights, lighted sound vehicles, super micro lights, and playsets, each sold separately from Galoob. Remember, if it doesn't say Micro Machines, it's not the real thing!
It's Fright Fest at Six Flags. Come out for ghosts, ghouls, and one screaming coaster after another. Get your discount tickets online at sixflags.com. Six Flags. It's playtime.
Horrifying, isn't it? With all peanut butter flavor, you'll always come back for more. Nothing but peanut butter taste in each bite. And it's part of a balanced breakfast. It's to die for. It's the crunch that screams peanut butter.
Laboratory of Dr. Frankenstein. Something incredible was created. The great taste of pure milk chocolate and delicious peanut butter. Unfortunately, no one would listen. And so the world would have to wait for the two great tastes that taste great together in Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
I get a charge from my delicious strawberry-flavored cereal, Frankenberry.
Here's a switch. My ghostly good blueberry with blueberry-flavored marshmallows to spark a breakfast.
I love Frankenberry strawberry-flavored marshmallows.
You turn me off, Frankenface.
Fiffle Berry Blue.
I'm in the dark.
Meet him. Meet me.
Oh. You can enjoy this nutritious breakfast with blueberry. Frankenberry.
Brotherly love turns into blackmail when Ben takes the blame for Mike's broken window.
Ben, you gotta take a rap for me here.
But when little Ben makes big demands...
I'd like you to be my personal servant for the weekend.
Can Mike hold up his end of the deal?
The phone, Michael.
Or is it more than he bargained for?
That's gonna ground you.
That's gonna ground you and spank you.
Hold it right there, you two.
On the next Growing Pains. Tonight at 6 on WKBD TV 50.
Hi, it's me again. When you go to the ocean, it's good to take fruit roll-ups and fruit wrinkles. Especially like to eat fruit wrinkles, because they're bite-sized and they're chewy. And the fruit roll-ups are so delicious and so stretchy, they can even keep an octopus occupied. They put lots of real fruit and fun in fruit roll-ups and fruit wrinkles, so I don't mind sharing, even if it's with my little sister.
What are you doing?
Saving the future.
But how?
With Captain Power video tape. There are three different skill levels. This one's toughest. Now we can practice anytime. Power Jet X7. Score or be hit.
Captain Power videotapes. I don't believe it.
Believe it, large human. The power of the future is in your hands.
Batteries not included. Jets, figures, and new interactive videotapes each sold separately from Captain Power and the soldiers of the future.
Want to see some pudding?
How can it be? I can't believe my eyes. New pudding roll up. Pudding in the sky. Then you can say lots of things. Pudding can it be? But the yummy, yummy taste.
That's pudding.
Betty Crocker pudding roll-ups in milk chocolate, chocolate fudge, or butterscotch. Real pudding in the sky.
New pudding roll-ups, am I surprised? Pudding roll-ups, pudding in the sky. New pudding roll-ups.
They don't hang around in ladies' clubs or in a creepy suit. They're too big to call them dainty. Too big to call them cute. Yeah, they're so big on chocolate.
Gentlemen, what's on the agenda for this evening?
Oh, I am on the time of my life.
Can that be done for the $7?
The evil Hulog shackled the Deinonychus.
Braveheart's on attack.
They're shooting stuff.
Heroic quest star on Diplodocus opens the secret pod.
They're funneling on me!
Look out for the trap!
Hey, this
man! The hidden rockets blast the evil Rulog.
We'll meet again, quest star!
Diplodocus with motorized walking action, Deinonychus and Pteranodon with figures and battle gear, each sold separately.
Dino Riders!
There's something you can do with Cheerios you can't do with most cereals. Pour a full bowl and get almost no sugar. With Frosted Flakes, you get 10 times more sugar than Cheerios. And Raisin Bran, 8. Even Rice Krispies and Corn Flakes have more sugar. But you know what we like most about Cheerios? There's not a stinker in the bowl.
The unsinkable taste of cheery, cheery, cheery Cheerios.
Today at 4:30, it's the kid everyone loves.
Today's a great day. Absolutely nothing can go wrong. I can feel it. Well, are you taking me to school or not, Squid Bait?
I like the chairman's seat. Think I'll have it reupholstered to match my eyes.
Or you can have it overstuffed to match your head.
Buzz off and get out of my seat, fungus brain.
Hey! Arnold, on Different Strokes, today at 4:30 on TV 44.
Rosie, you're not speaking to me today? No. Oh. Oh, you're still mad at me because I wouldn't let you have Mommy's Kellogg's cornflakes? Don't yell at me, Rosie. Oh, all right. If you love them that much, you can have them.
Kellogg's cornflakes is part of this nutritious breakfast.
This homework's a drag.
Not with wonderful me to help.
Garfield.
Garfield pencil toppers. One free in cornflakes. Together we'll ace everything.
Little love of our babies need your tender, loving care. Little love of our babies have a tiny world of love to share. Their rocking horse can really rock. Their little ducks, adorable, tuck frilly things in wooden drawers. And every day you'll love them more. Little love of our babies have a tiny world of love to share.
Love of our babies, their toys, clothes, and real wood furniture sold separately from Hasbro.
I wish we didn't have to take a bath
and go to bed.
We don't. We're Wish World kids.
Twice the magic, twice the cool. Wish a tub into a swimming pool.
Great!
Rachel can swim, she can sun. Build sand castles just for fun.
Wish World kids.
Twice the laugh, twice the zing. Wish a bed into a playground and swing.
Wow!
Kirsten can soar, she's a whiz. Play some tennis.
We're Wish World kids.
Wish World kids. Wish for one, get twice the fun. Each playset sold separately with its very own doll.
Uncle Servo,
thanks for tuning in. We do have an encore performance of Mystery Science Theater 3000 today. But the good news is it's by popular demand, Gamera versus Zegra, one of our all-time favorites. Thanks for the cards and letters on the fan club. If you want to join, please send in a card to Mystery Science Theater 3000 Fan Club, care of TV23, 2505, Kennedy Street Northeast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55413. We'll be back next week with an all-new edition of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Annoyed hates hot quality pizza. He loves to make your hot pizza ice cold. Call Domino's Pizza and avoid the Noid. We keep the cold out and all this quality in. So when you want quality pizza, hot and delicious, Domino's Pizza delivers. One call does it all.
Hello, this is Lester, the official dog of the Cartoon Clubhouse.
And he's a pretty good-looking dog, don't you think? I like him, but there's a lot of other good-looking dogs out there, and we'd like to put their pictures up in Lester's Dog Pack.
Lester's Dog Pack.
Just send us a picture or a drawing of your favorite dog, and we'll add it to our collection and read your name on TV.
Who's that from?
Just send your picture to Lester's Dog Patch, P.O. Box 57423, Dallas, Texas, 75207, and watch for yours on TV.
Who's that from?
This is my favorite dog.
I always liked you so much.
Oh, thank you, Mike Yanagita. Yes, I am kind of wondering why I did a show tonight since I feel so shitty, but might as well keep going. Right, Bill?
We're almost done.
Yeah.
Might as well.
Now, this clip actually, a Fangasm, wasn't on the show. It was in the bonus footage on the website. And I was...
Oh, okay.
Basically, my DVR recorded the same episode twice, even though it was labeled that it was the final episode.
Well, mine is so weird.
Final Fandom.
Face Off instead of the Final Fandom.
Oh, so you haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my god, it was so annoying. And then I looked when Sci-Fi would air it again, not anywhere on the schedule. I looked in their video on demand, which they have. They have episodes 1, 2, and 3, and that's it. Nothing else. I'm like, okay, that's annoying. So, Bill, I asked you for the episode, and you sent it to me, but it didn't work.
Yeah, it was corrupted.
And so I was like, what the F, man? I'm never going to see this episode. So finally I realized, you know, I buy books and stuff on Google Play all the time. That's where I can watch it on. I mean, I can read books on my phone. But they also sell shows. So I was like, I'm going to buy, see how much it is. It was $1.99. What the hell? I'll buy it on there and just watch it on my computer. I'm not going to watch it on my phone, though. But I watched it on my computer. So that was cool. But anyway, what I thought was funny about this clip here is that lady who runs the Kamikaze organization.
That lady!
What's her name? Regina?
Regina!
By the way, did you know, Bill, Stephen, you didn't see the episode, I now know, but there was no Stan Lee at the party at the end.
No, there wasn't.
It's called Stan Lee's Kamikaze, but he's like, that doesn't mean I'm there. But it was really just a bunch of, like, cosplay people. They were like, ooh, what celebrity? Did you see any celebrities there?
No, I didn't see a single one.
There was no... The only celebrity there was Adrian Curry and Cassandra Peterson again.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Was it any of the cosplay? You haven't been watching the cosplay show.
Yes, the people from that cosplay show from Sci-Fi, they were there.
Gotcha.
The couple.
I didn't even know they had a cosplay show on Sci-Fi.
It's like a couple. I don't remember.
Two.
He was an X-Wing pilot, and she was an X-Man, Jean Grey.
Oh, Jesus.
So, So, yeah, and they had a cool, like, reenactment, or I don't know what, they did a live performance of, like, it was supposed to be Tony Stark fighting with Emma Frost, and then a chick dressed up like Black Widow was there. It's kind of silly.
That sounds really amazing.
Did you not see it either, Bill?
No, I just the way you described it, I saw it, yeah.
I know.
I watched the whole damn thing.
I paint quite a picture, don't I? And did you notice when Danny says goodbye to Sal, she just walks away and he has to go up to her to get a kiss from her?
Yeah.
She's like,
well,
see you later,
Sal.
She's
like, I'm done. Bye.
Nice to know you, Sal. Oh, and they do this thing where she says, Regina says, I'm going to pick one of you guys that'll be my employee for Kamikaze. And so they're all like wondering, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And of course.
Gee, I wonder who's the most competent of that group.
Molly wants it more than anyone.
Oh, Jesus.
She says.
That's right. Exactly why you shouldn't give it to her.
Right.
And so Danny is the one who wins.
Yeah.
Danielle, or Danny. They always call her Danny, so I'm not going to call her Danielle all of a sudden. The redhead, the cute redhead, short round. And Molly's immediately in tears, like, this is what I wanted.
I'm always ignored.
For good reason.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, that'd be cool. You get all of a sudden you're staying in L.A.
For how long, though?
How much do you possibly get paid, though? Do you just get to,
just over minimum wage?
How sad would it be if you're like, you're hired. You get to stay in the same house you've been in with all those people. They all have to leave, though. That'd be incredibly lonely, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't want to stay in that house.
Yeah,
that
they house trashed sucked. It, didn't they?
Yeah.
Place was a shit sty. So, anyway, here's a clip of Regina giving Andrew the task of renting a box truck.
With a refrigerator?
Let's check this out. And by the way, the music in the background is too loud, and I apologize for that. I didn't make the clip. I mean, I made the clip, but I didn't put the sound in the background. All right, let's check this out.
I need a box truck rented to, like, pick up a bunch of stuff. So, Andrew, why don't I have you call around and find a box truck? I have some numbers. I need it for all the deliveries and pickup. Call them and whatever's the cheapest quote, take that one, okay?
How many box trucks do you want? Just one.
Okay.
Big box.
Just one.
Okay, well, I don't know.
we're not setting up the Oscars here.
I don't know.
I don't need no box truck with some crazy rims and
hard left.
And like limo box truck, just a box truck.
What's a box truck?
What is a box truck?
Only thing I can think of a box truck is this is the big truck with like a cardboard box is on the back of it. And I'm like, this is the stupidest thing in the world. Why would anyone rent one of those? Hey, my name's Andrew Duvall. I'm calling for Regina from the
company.
Regina?
You want it?
Hello?
Can you kind of speak up? I can't hear what you're saying.
I'm calling on behalf of Regina for the car. Car rental place? Not car rental place, but a box truck rental.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm trying to rent a box truck, a standard size, for to get it to my address at 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm not a good negotiator. I get very nervous when I can negotiate for anything. It's very nerve-wracking. Is there any way I can get a lower price?
I'll give a $75. $225.
No, $225 is fine.
All right.
I'm badass at negotiating. Talk to Regina. Hey, I got the box truck guy for the $225 for the whole day.
That's the best you can do?
Yeah.
That was the best. That was pretty good because he was at $300. I talked him down to $225. It was pretty good.
Call him back and see if you can get it for $200.
Call him back for $200?
Yeah. Work for this. I know. I could go back.
That's a good $75, though.
I don't care.
Did he interrupt your smoke?
I want you to be tough. Be aggressive. Get as low as you can be. 150, do it.
All right.
I'd go make it. Be aggressive. Kill it. ABC. Get the best discounts and deals and be aggressive. I like aggressive.
ABC, always be chirping. I just called you 5 minutes ago.
All right, what
can I do for you? We think the price is too much. I was wondering if we can go lower.
Who wants lower? I take $75. What do you want me to do here?
$175.
$200, that's all I can do.
I worked at Box Trucks Rental Cars before. I could get one for $100 without any problem. So $175 or nothing. So $175 or we can go someplace else.
$175.
All right, cool beans. $175, 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'll see you tomorrow.
The box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running, It's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Yeah. In there. He did it.
But there ain't no refrigerator in that box truck.
He totally negotiated it, didn't he?
In there.
I don't know why I liked that so much, just because he was so uncomfortable the whole time. Like,
I've never... He sounded like J.D. Harmeyer, the kid from Howard Show. Just like he just could not spit anything out of his mouth.
Like, yeah, I'm, well, you know, I mean, box truck, you know, it's got the truck, the box truck, you know?
You know, yeah.
I love that he's like, 225. She goes, no, you can get lower than that. It's like, well, I don't want to talk.
I just got $75.
He made me think of me. I hate talking to people on the phone. You know, like when I talked about calling the Drake TV guy to talk to him, that took teeth pulling. You know,
see, I don't have any problem striking up a conversation with someone. I don't mind at all.
I hate talking on the phone. I don't like doing it. I don't like calling anybody.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad did that to me. And so he would be like, hey, can you call the credit card company and make a payment or something? And I'd be like, fine.
Yeah, Heather would do that to me. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to.
So I would do it. And one of the times I did it, you know, I would pose as him. And the guy starts asking questions, and here I know everything. Like I've, because I've done it for so long, I know my dad's social security number. Okay, I know. And this guy starts giving me a hard time. And he's like, "Well, you don't sound, you know, whatever, like 50 years old." I'm like, "Well, I am. So deal with it." And then he put a stop on the credit card because he thought it was like fraud. Yeah. So my dad are out, and he's like, "Oh, sir, this card was reported stolen."
Holy shit.
That's yeah, nice. So my dad learned his lesson after that. Don't have like, me make his important credit card calls.
Call. Yeah.
But that's so typical of my dad. I'm delegating. Well, no, you're not. You're being lazy.
Delegating.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
My God.
Oh, shit, that's funny. What does it mean? Oh, that's the killing joke from Monty Python. You know, the one kills people.
Yeah, it is.
People drop dead from laughter at that joke. All right, I want to talk about Top Chef, Bill.
Okay.
What I like about Top Chef is when someone's really confident. Oh, they're making the kind. They want us to make the kind of food I make all the time. I am.
You know what?
Set.
I spent so much time in Asia, and you know what kind of food they make in Asia?
Asia,
Asian food.
I lived in Asia for a year.
Mm-hmm. Asia's pretty big. It covers a whole lot.
My boyfriend is Vietnamese. I know Vietnamese food.
Yeah, that's what he was like. He was like, what was that guy's name on Hell's Kitchen?
I lived in Asia for a year, so I'm going to nail it. I lived in Asia for a year.
Because I lived in Asia for a year.
Dan, is that how they serve the rice in Asia, where you lived there for a year?
Hey, Dan, go back to Asia for another year.
Dan. All right, so this guy, Travis,
is an asshole.
Vietnam. One thing, have you noticed they have this vote thing now on the show?
What do you mean?
I don't know. When you go, if.
Oh, yeah, I saw
on that. The screen, there'll be a poll. Like, right. You can be on the Bravo website, I guess. I don't know who watches it while on this freaking website, but vote. Are you rooting for Travis in this episode? And it'll be like, no.
Oh, when you said there's a poll, I thought like, never mind.
Like a metal poll?
Like a metal poll. Like
yeah, it's
poll.
Like they're polling the list, P-O-L-L. The watchers, the viewers. And it's so funny how it's like 0%, and then it's like 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. It's like up to 100 aren't rooting for Travis.
Wow.
Do you think Travis deserves to go home? 10%, yes. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. It's like, yes, everyone does. And I'm like, who are these people? Are they all going, like playing track and field on their computer or something?
Who watches this shit live?
Yeah, I don't know. Watch what's happening live. Watch what happens live. Okay. Let's check out this clip where, Emeril shows up with this other guy. And did that guy seem kind of douchey to you, Bill?
Very douchey. Kind of hipstery, the glasses, but then the shoes, the bright red shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, look at my feet. Like, there's just something very, you know, I don't know. He was a douche.
Yeah, let's check this out. And Travis, he doesn't think much of this guy.
I'm convinced now that Emeril has a secret bedroom. in this house because he pops up when you don't expect it.
Morning.
That's a little creepy.
Chefs, I want to introduce our guest judge, host of Fresh Off the Boat, and chef and owner of Bar House in New York City, Eddie Wong.
What's up, chefs?
Eddie's super knowledgeable, incredibly talented. He's almost like a food archaeologist. I can't wait to see what he's going to have for us today.
That sounds your elimination challenge, horrifying. You'll be broken up into groups of five. And the five of you will create your version of a Vietnamese menu.
I couldn't be happier because I'm a Vietnamese cook. I've been to Vietnam, and not just been to Vietnam. I've been with my boyfriend's grandma. He's Vietnamese. I mean, this is my food.
Don't be nervous. You look nervous.
He likes older women.
Travis and I particularly are really excited. Travis knows a lot about Vietnamese food. I know a decent amount about Asian food. Drew Wilking Puck. The group is very solid.
We are excited.
Yeah, we're excited.
No offense to Eddie or Emerald, but I could probably give him a crash course in Vietnam.
All right, guys, let's hit the road.
I'm nervous how this is going to go down, but I'm sure that if we follow the lead of Travis and Sarah, then we'll be a very successful team.
So this is awesome. That's like the sauce they use for everything. Normally, if you get romaine lettuce and noodles and pickles, and you wrap everything in the lettuce, and then you eat it.
Lucky for me, I got Travis in the group, the Vietnamese expert here.
Bun, B-U-N, is a noodle, but then it's fun. I said sarcastic.
Okay, you know what? We get it. If he's going to be Captain Vietnam, he better bring it. We'll see after we're done tomorrow.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Sarah comes, joins us in the produce section. It looks like she's finished her list, and she starts grabbing things that I've already grabbed.
They don't have them in little clamshells next to, like, kaiwar sprouts or anything?
No, nothing.
What's with that girl Paris?
Sarah doesn't trust me. I don't know. It's something I can't put my finger on.
I don't mean to be a bitch, but I know what I'm doing. I will step up. Otherwise,
no, you're
it's going to be
being
show.
A bitch. Captain Vietnam, what do you got for us?
Got my sausage in the oven.
What kind of sausage?
We're going to do a lemongrass pork sausage, but we lost the lemongrass in translation.
How'd you lose the lemongrass in translation?
Why?
Tell us.
Damn, Travis. Seriously? We don't know, but you wouldn't have known if you wouldn't open your mouth. So, bada boom, bada bing, right?
I think we just left it on the cart when we were going through.
Make Vietnamese food, no lemongrass.
Yeah, they don't use it in everything.
This is the expert on Vietnamese food.
Not fully expert.
Eddie's Taiwanese Chinese. He only knows a little bit of what he knows. Sorry, Eddie. You're kind of a douchebag.
Oh my gosh,
he does. Takes one to know one.
Does he know that Eddie is going to watch this later?
No, of course not. And then he'll never get a job in Eddie's kitchen.
I don't know why I thought that was funny, but that guy Travis isn't going to get a job after the show's over. But did you notice that chick Sarah, the one with the beehive or whatever kind of hairstyle that is?
Yeah, the pinups hairstyle.
One of the B-52s. She said it's going to be a real shit show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I brought this up like maybe a couple seasons ago, but I said, why do all these chefs, they do it a lot. If you ever notice it, someone says it pretty frequently on episodes of Top Chef. Every season they go, it's going to be a shit show. They always talk about being a shit show.
Okay.
And it gets on my nerves. So when she said, it's going to be a real shit show, I just like rolled my eyes. I go, why did she say the shit show line? It's like, I remember even Richard Blay said it. It's going to be a real shit show. Or
so
a bleep show.
They have there a must be one of those things that they do.
I don't want it to be a shit show, Bill.
I don't think I've ever used that term.
Yeah.
Like I've said, like the shit has hit or will hit the fan. I've never said shit show.
This is going to be pretty crappy. No, it's going to be a shit show. That's what it's going to be. What is a shit show exactly? Is it some Emerald thing? Like, bam.
I guess every time you see your dog take a dump, it's a shit show.
It's a shit show. Everybody pull up a chair.
Yeah. We've got popcorn.
It gets on my nerves. I don't like it.
It's a stupid term.
Yeah, it's a dumb term. So anyway, let's see what Tom and the rest of the gang thought of. Well, the thing the guy said, Travis, he was in Vietnam and he had this dish with tomato sauce.
Yeah, where the grandma took a jar of Prego.
Yeah, it was like marinara with Asian food.
So automatically it's Vietnamese. I think my favorite part was whenever Padma said she liked when things slap her in the face.
Yeah. Or, no, she said, I don't mind getting slapped in the face. At least that's something. And then Gail goes, you like getting slapped in the face, don't you, with stuff. That was pretty funny. Because they're two dirty women, aren't they?
They're very dirty.
Especially when they get drunk.
Dirty birds.
It's going to be a shit show.
Oh, shut up. It's not a shit show. It's a delicious show. All right, let's check this out, guys.
It's a regular show.
Yeah, just regular show.
Let's talk about the pork sausage with the dipping sauce.
Him again with the sausage.
I like
it.
But I feel like that sausage, because he was missing the lemongrass, he turned up everything else. It was very sharp. It was over-aggressive. And I think that their miss with the red sauce was so epic.
Come on, man, I'll knock your ass out.
That shrimp was hammered.
I mean, I've had, like, broken rice. That was not broken rice. That was, like, baby food.
Shattered rice.
Yeah.
They didn't get our food at all. I'm willing to stand behind every single dish we did today.
Let's hear what they have to say. Chefs, unfortunately, your team fell short today.
This was a real heartbreaker for us. We were so excited.
Like,
we finally got to cook, excuse me, our food. I think it was,
excuse me while I choke.
Excuse me. A lot of the love for this cuisine and what we do. That made us really excited.
The shit I'm showing.
And we're none of us here want to be here right now. It sucks.
How does this idea that you want to really nail it, you're so excited for this, end up with a tomato sauce,
really
almost Italian dish with shrimp?
I've had that before in Central Vietnam three times.
Three times, not once.
You actually thought of this dish?
I did. I was so intrigued by these flavors. Because it was like this Italian sauce in Central Vietnam.
But if we went to Paris and someone said, this is a challenge about Parisian food, and yes, I'm sure in Paris I could find a McDonald's. Doesn't mean I could put a McDonald's on there and go, well, I found it in Paris.
Travis, you have been in Vietnam, but you picked this dish as opposed to showcasing all the other things you have to have seen, the fresh basil, the fresh mint, the culantro. I was expecting this bouquet.
Was anybody not comfortable doing this?
I was nervous because I have had a small amount of experience with the Vietnamese flavors, and I've never once come across a tomato-based sauce.
I really sympathize with Benny and Janine because it's almost like you saw a UFO and then told them to draw it. Benny, were you happy with the sauce?
I was happy, yes.
Benny, what the hell?
We got something that all we tasted was tomato and sweetness.
Yeah, it was really heavy, too. It was like almost cooked too much.
Who actually cooked the shrimp?
That was me. I fried them, and they came up, and I tasted them, and they were great. They were perfect. So I wanted to just make sure that they were hot right before I tossed them in the sauce. I quickly flashed them for, like, just a couple of seconds.
I've never heard of twice-fried shrimp. It's unnecessary. You want bouncy, you want al dente, you want juicy.
Who made the rice?
Free shrimp.
I'll take the bullet for that.
Oh my God.
The rice cooker failed us.
We all kind of contributed to the rice.
Why serve it? Why serve it?
Because we were stupid. I don't know.
Good answer.
Stephanie, how is the experience for you?
I'm not as comfortable with these flavors, but I did want to contribute something that touched home to me.
I like the double O macaroon. It was in line with the tradition of kind of janky, ratchet Asian desserts.
Did he mean ratchet?
Yeah, Stephanie, I gotta say, you know, ratchet? It's kind of a cop-out to do macaroon, and frankly, I find that to be not that exciting.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
But the cute Australian girl got kicked off for her shrimp. They should have.
She's so adorable.
Why didn't the Travis guy get kicked off for his ragu,
Italian ragu, his ragu prego, Vietnamese?
I love that he was so cocky the whole episode, and his food sucked. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, why did you make that? I had it three times in Vietnam.
Wow. It was the best spaghetti I ever had.
It was da bomb diggity, Tom. Oh.
You gotta wrap it up.
Now, I want to talk about The Walking Dead, you guys. Did you guys watch The Walking Dead?
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we've seen a lot of Walking Dead now. We've seen all the episodes. I don't know where I'm going with this. Just go along with me, okay? Just help me get to where I'm trying to go.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of gore on the show, and a lot of it makes me giddy, like I laugh because it's so, like, heads getting smushed or anything that explodes or whatever. But there was a moment that disturbed me that I thought was effed up.
Okay.
And I didn't like it, and it bothered me. Sometimes when you see something, it bothers you, and you keep thinking about it, replaying it in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about. But
yeah, I kind of experienced that with the counselor, so yes.
So it disturbed the shit out of me. And sometimes stuff like this happens, and it lingers with me, and I keep thinking about it, and I can't get it out of my head. And you guys are going to think it's so silly when I tell you this, but it's really effed up. And okay. At the beginning of the episode, it shows that the kid who died at the end of the last episode
is
now a walker, and he's walking around in the prison, and nobody knows he's in there. And at first, he's going to go in the girl cell, but you hear a guy snoring, like, totally, Steven, you would be dead, right?
Yes. No CPAPs in the...
Well, here's what disturbed me, and it just bothered me, is he goes into the guy's room, and he bites his throat out.
Right.
And you see the blood spurting up, and the guy's like going... like he's like awake, and he's... That shit bothered me. The whole scene bothered me.
Because it was disarming?
It was disturbing shit. You know, just the...
Because it can happen to you in your sleep.
The idea that you're asleep and something rips your throat out as you're sleeping.
Okay. Now, that scene bothered me also, but for a totally different reason.
Okay.
It is the zombie apocalypse. You are never safe. You are living in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
You're sleeping in a cell. And you don't have the goddamn door shut.
I know.
Why would you sleep in a prison cell if you weren't going to close the door?
I know. That's what I talked about last week, that if I was sleeping in that cell, I'd just close it every night. That way I could sleep knowing I was safe. You know, a walker, he wouldn't know to slide the door open. Probably wouldn't have the strength either. He'd just reach through. So I'd make sure that I was always... I mean, yeah, it would be scary to wake up and see one at the door trying to get in, but at least you're safe. I wouldn't have the friggin' door open.
I still wouldn't even trust that he couldn't slide it open. I would have a coat hanger or some wire.
Yeah, we would be safe all the time. It's just like I talked about...
When you're in the cell, you lock the cell, you keep the key on you. That way, when you wake up in the morning, unlock it, go on your way.
Yeah, I don't even know if they have keys on those. It might be the kind that just, like, you hit a switch and they all close at once. But
maybe.
Even then, you could probably pull it with your arms, like, just close it.
I mean, if they could find, handcuffs and use that as your...
Yeah, you could find...
Something to lock it.
It's kind of... Yeah, exactly. Way back in the first season, I talked about, if I lived in that kind of world, if you and I were going to talk in the field where walkers were... I'd say, you stand behind me, we're going to talk back to back. So we each, keep looking, and we can see. We're not going to both face each other and, not be looking around, which so many people have
even if you're looking at each other, you can see behind, I can see behind you, you can see behind me.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to sneak up on you even at that point.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I'm going to be paranoid. I'm like, so what's going on? And I'm always looking
around.
There's
a zombie walking up behind
you. Yeah, I'm always looking left, right. And I know it's kind of silly because this is a TV show, but you would think somebody would think of that. Or they could have even shown one guy hey, he was fine. He always sleeps with his cell shut.
It just always seems to reek of lazy storytelling.
Yeah, we need to have a way somebody gets killed. How about they sleep with their cells open? Yeah, we'll do
just
that.
Put a towel over it.
Yeah.
It's a blockage.
And another thing is they did it again, Bill. They introduced a character, the girl who survived the governor last season.
Yeah.
Now she's introduced as Tyrese's girlfriend. Dead. She's dead. Can't have him last very long. No one is safe, you guys.
And it's like this thing is it's no one is safe, not even from themselves.
No one is safe from being underwritten, guys.
Yes.
But you know what? There were some effective things on the show.
It was the first real episode that kind of got into the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one part that I really just kind of laughed out loud, and that was anything with Carol. Because Carol's gone from, this strong woman to this caricature of a strong woman going around telling children that they're weak.
Right.
And I was just like, when the moment that scene came, you didn't kill him because you're weak.
Yeah, what was that about?
Her
dad just died. Just say you're not ready yet or something.
Yeah, you just lost your father. I expected you to plunge a knife into his temple. You didn't do it, so you're weak.
Yeah, and she did it right in front of them, too. That was a little hard-blooded. Cold-blooded, Jason.
Hard-cold-blooded.
Well, also, there's the part where, okay, we've established that some people died and they came back as walkers, and a lot of people died, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now we know there's an illness. Rick has told his son, you got to stay away from me. I've been exposed, whatever. So Carl's in there building a cross for his friend who died, and he goes, do you think he was Catholic or something? And she goes, I think he was an atheist. And he's like, shit. And he just kind of throws it down. That's kind of funny. But Carol's like, did you tell your dad about the whole knife thing? I'd be like, who gives a shit, dude?
Yeah, exactly. Like, leave me alone, that happened today, creepy old
that's
lady.
What you're thinking about? Who gives a shit? She goes, no, see? The writers made me care about this week.
Yeah. I'll totally forget about it next week. Don't worry about that.
But you know what? This was the episode that got Rick to unpack his guns.
Yeah,
didn't it?
I laugh because y'all called it. You know, it's like, by the end of next one, he'll be carrying his gun.
Did you see that when he hears gunshots, he starts running, he reaches down for his gun, and there's nothing there? It's like, dumbass, why would you not have your gun?
What did I do? Yeah.
In the zombie apocalypse. And also, okay, we know that Michonne is a badass. The weird part where she rides back on her horse and then hops down. Why wouldn't she pull her sword out and behead that one walker right
next to her?
That's
exactly what I thought.
When it says she gets down and she turns around, it's right there. And it's like, I don't have time to pull my sword out.
She gets down, she turns around, and she screws up her ankle?
Yeah, that was not telegraphed right. It was just like, ow! And it's like,
what happened? I've got weak bones.
It would have been better if she'd have twisted and jumping off the horse.
Yeah, something like that. And so she's like, I did like the impale.
I would have bought it maybe if she like had gone to chop the zombie's head off and maybe like the sword caught on like the spinal cord and it ripped her off
like
the horse or something, you know?
I want to ask you guys this. I did like the sequence where they're all knocking the fence over because somebody's feeding them rats or whatever. But I want to ask you this, Steven. All those cool spiky things are in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Move them over to the part of the weak fence, right? Move them over there.
Move it all the way. You just continue making it all the way around.
Yeah, keep making it every day. Build some more. Put some more over there. Put it all the way around the perimeter. That way they can't even get to the fence. They're just impaling themselves. I know eventually there'd be a lot of them impaled and you'd have to clean it up or something, but it's a good protective thing.
Well, you go out there, you light them on fire, build you a new one.
Mm-hmm. But also, okay, take a truck. You know, he goes, Daryl, go get the truck. And I go, finally, they're going to just go ram them off the fence. No, they're going to get a trailer and have the pigs and cut them.
Yeah, because that makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you just run them over?
Just go.
Why would you sacrifice your meat that isn't sick yet? And I don't get it.
But also, they showed a lot of walkers and they're killing them one after another. They never deplete.
No.
Why didn't they deplete? They
probably because they're making too much noise with the gunshots. I don't know.
But also, did you notice? I mean, I know this is stupid to nitpick this because this is nitpicking. What I'm about to say is when Michonne gets off her horse and the one gets impaled, Maggie shoots it, and all the walkers are next to her on the other side of the barricade, and they don't even turn to look in that direction where a gunshot just went off. They just go up to the fence, go shh. I'm like, didn't they just hear that? Are they hard of hearing? Or
that's the first thing to go.
Go find a nice cliff. You hang a boombox over the edge. Draw them like lemmings right over.
Like, I liked last season how the one guy, Miles, was that his name? Mm-hmm. He made that pit where a sound attracted him and they'd fall in. They need to do shit like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Again, do that, and then you burn them.
It's like the whole spike thing is a good idea, but why would you stop there? Why wouldn't Rick even think to do more, you know?
Oh, the fence is strong enough.
Yeah,
it
and then they're like
prisoners.
He attracts them long enough for them to all go back to the fence later, and they're pushing on another part. It's like, we could find solutions to these problems, people. Okay, everybody.
We could make the show more interesting.
Yeah, okay. How many people were out there? How many people live in the prison? Okay, we need 20 people out here killing these things. We would have it done in an afternoon.
Well, and okay, do the they're feeding the rats. what good of job were Maggie and what's his name doing, you know, being the guards up in the tower? They're not looking.
Yeah, they're too busy.
Glenn?
Yeah, Glenn.
They're making whoopee or something.
Yeah, really?
Making whoopee. No, but, yeah.
Pies. So, but I mean, you know, those fences don't make any noise when they walk in and out, you know, to get to that little perimeter area.
Why? I want to know this. Why would anyone want to feed the walkers rats? And I immediately thought of the little girl who's named them, but mm-hmm. why would she do that?
You know what? That's probably what it'll end up being, is a little girl feeding them, and they're trying to set it up as, like, somebody doing it on purpose to try to maybe create a diversion to do something else. But I bet you that's as simple as it gets, is there's a little – one of the little girls are feeding them.
The one problem I would have with that is I can't picture a little girl picking up a giant rat. You know,
you're weak. If you can't stab your father in the head, how could you pick up a rat?
You're weak. You're nothing, little girl. And then she's
you
like,
"You suck."
What about the scene where she takes Carol's knife and she puts it? And I'd be like, "No, no, no! Give me that knife back. That's mine, bitch. Get your own."
She
knife.
She should have stabbed Carol.
You're gonna die. You're gonna die, bitch. Why?
I'll show you weak.
Another underwritten character bites the dust.
No one is safe.
Yeah, but that whole scene, okay, basically, so we know there's an outbreak. Remember last week I predicted it was Carl poisoning everyone? I guess I'm wrong about that. I was kind of half-toned, but I did think somebody was purposely poisoning the water supply, but maybe it's just some flu or whatever.
It probably is like some sort of just basic flu.
So I know.
Well, if you didn't watch The Talking Dead afterwards.
I did watch
who
it.
Who the hell wants to watch The Talking Dead?
I watched it.
While I was waiting for Comic Book Men. Okay.
Okay.
You watch Comic Book Men?
Yes.
Yeah, I watch it too. But I want to tell
why?
You about this one part where on Talking Dead. I'm trying to remember. I kind of blanked on what I was about to say.
Because it was so scary and interesting.
Oh, they were like, so why do you think Michonne cried while holding the baby?
Oh, and they were please.
Like, and one of them was like, could she have had a baby who died? And I just was like, it's not that hard, people. Come
are
on.
Are people that watch The Walking Dead seriously this challenged?
It's like they don't want to come out and go, I'm pretty sure they're telegraphing it, like, yeah, for anybody to understand that she had a baby once it died. I mean, is everyone getting that? I mean, how hard is it to understand that? The whole, like...
The show isn't exactly subtle.
Yeah, it's not. And, but it's funny how afterwards, so what did you think that scene meant? It's like, what did you think it meant? What did everyone who saw it think it meant?
It meant what it meant.
She doesn't want to get close to anybody.
She had a husband and a kid. They both died. She doesn't want to get close to anyone.
Yeah.
Boom.
End of story. That's her backstory. It's so easy to figure it out. You know?
No, my head hurts.
No, really?
I'm so confused.
The thing is, you know, like I said, I like zombie. I like having a zombie show on or whatever, but... I mean, it's not Smallville bad or anything, but...
No, I just wish it didn't treat me like an idiot.
Right, exactly. And you know what? We all agree Daryl's a badass. Why can't they show Daryl doing more badass stuff or something? Scavenging, finding stuff. I want to see
And
him.
It actually bothers me, like, when people are talking on Twitter or something about how great this was or how great that was, and I'm like, am I being overly critical? Or it just... I expect more from the people that created it. I don't know. I just...
Like I said, I thought this episode was better than the last one. But,
yes, it was.
But we want it to be better.
But they still had some sloppy writing in that.
Yeah.
Or ideas. Maybe not their...
It's just like last season, they would always cut to Andrea, and you know, you kind of like, oh, why are they cutting her? But now they've got Carol in the library or something. Let's cut to her. Let's see what she's doing. No, let's not. No one cares. Let's cut to them kind of discussing people being sick. Okay.
I would rather watch the pigs root in mud and feces than watch Carol tell the kids about how to stab someone.
I wanted to, at the very end, I told Bill this, that reveal that Rick had one of the piglets hidden because it was his favorite. Runty. The
Mortimer.
Nobody's going near Runty. Runty. Get this, he trains Runty to be a walker killer.
Yeah, exactly. And then Runty grows so big that he can put a saddle on him and ride him into battle.
Oh, it's kind of like that movie Razorback.
Yes.
Runty's like, it just tramples down walkers.
Runty's no longer a runt.
But, you know, I always thought of that.
I've been feeding them walkers.
I know it's kind of silly, but I remember in the Zack Snyder Walking Dead, do you remember there's the gun store owner?
Yes.
Who's across the way, who he has no food, he has water, but he's starving. And he goes up there and they play a game where he shoots him. But he's in a gun store with unlimited ammo, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever think, like, you know what, today I'm going to kill as many of these as I can
right.
in one day. You know, just, like, pick them off all day long and see how many I can kill. I got plenty of ammo. I've got a earmuff thing to cover up my ears.
Earmuffs.
Who wouldn't do that? I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, I'd be like, what's that
guy
doing?
It's just it's a way of clearing back your area.
Yeah. And then, you know, you cut to it, and there's dead bodies everywhere, and all of a sudden they keep showing up more, and he's like, damn it! And so he's
you got the bodies on the ground, the zombies come in, stumble over, and fall over the dead bodies, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you've created an obstacle here.
I did like the guy there. Oh, I have a clip here. Since I made the clip, we're going to play it, right, guys?
Okay.
All right, here's a clip. It's when Rick... Do you notice at first he doesn't want to go in the cell to kill or to put a knife in one of the dead bodies because he's peaceful Rick now, Farmer Rick? So let's check this
out. Dear sweet peaceful Rick.
I'm getting into painting now, guys. I don't really want to do this. And
do a little Tai Chi out back.
No bites, no wounds. I think he just died.
Horribly, too. Pleurisy, aspiration.
Choked to death on his own blood. Caused those trails down his face.
I've seen him before. On a walker outside the fences.
I saw him on Patrick, too.
And they're from the internal lung pressure building up. Like if you shake a soda can, pop the top. Lord. Only imagine
I'm a doctor,
your eyes, ears, nose, and throat. At the top.
Is a sickness.
They're all down with a sickness.
These things happened before they were around. Could be pneumococcal. Most likely an aggressive flu strain.
Someone locked him in just in time.
Oh, man. Charlie used to sleepwalk. Locked himself in. Hell, he was just eating barbecue yesterday. How did somebody die in a day just from a cold?
I had a sick pig. Died quick.
Shut up, Rick. No one cares
saw
about your
sick
pig.
Boar in
that's
the
a
woods.
Good story, Rick.
Thanks for your story. This thing spread in the past.
Doesn't get sick.
We need to do something about those hogs.
Maybe we get lucky. Maybe these
stay
two cases.
Don't touch my hogs.
I haven't seen anybody be lucky in a long time.
You go don't touch the hog.
Bugs like to run through close quarters. Doesn't get any closer than this.
All of us in
hey,
here.
We need some optimism here,
we've
guys.
We've all been exposed.
Okay, now Herschel now has the best prosthetic leg ever.
Yeah, he does. He's got a prosthetic.
And he's no limp.
Yeah, he's good. Good to go.
Well, hey, you know, that happens. You adapt.
They tarred a CGI in it.
Hey, wait, guys. Rick wants to tell us a story. So everyone, okay, Rick, what'd you want to tell us?
I had a sick pig. I'd quit.
Oh, okay. That's a good story.
Is there anything else about that sick pig?
He's not much of a storyteller, is he? He's to the point. He just writes to the point.
It's, you know, it's the meaning behind it that counts.
I had a sick pig. He died quick. End of story. I mean, could there be anything possible to go along with that story?
Sick pig.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
Graduation, his sick pig was there before he passed away.
Now you can scream.
All right, guys. Bill, you want to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Let's do some news before I pass out. No, I'm kidding. I'm fine. Let's do some news.
No, you're not.
Before I start crying. News.
about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say?
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
Okie dokie. The news. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Police in central Pennsylvania say they found a suspect, accused or suspected groper, sorry, of a fast food worker by following the trail of curly fries. It started when a female employee at an Arby's in East Lampeter Township, Lancaster County, called police Wednesday night saying she was groped by a man. She handed over his order at 2 at the drive-thru. The employee gave police a description of the car, which was found outside a motel less than a mile away. Authorities said they spotted a trail of Arby's curly fries and sauce from the vehicle to the room of 36-year-old James Cowan. He was charged with a single count of indecent assault and released on bail.
Whoa.
He must have been really hungry to leave a trail of fries and Arby's sauce.
Yeah, is Arby's sauce? That stuff's good, isn't it? You like the Arby's sauce?
It's ketchupy.
Do you like the horsey sauce?
No. I like the horsey sauce.
Yikes.
It's a little scary.
It is a little scary, but it's delicious. I think this is funny, you know, how they were talking about the whole thing with, like, Xbox One needed an always-on, you know, internet connection and all that stuff, and the PlayStation 4 didn't. Well, it kind of actually does.
What?
Yeah. It's going to require a day one system update.
PS4 is?
Yep. So let's get used to those updating screens.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. That's no big deal, right? I mean, would you complain about that, Bill?
What, the updates?
Yeah.
No, because as long as my system's running okay, but I tell you what, sometimes they're absurd in their length.
The PS3 updates take forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
I'll turn it on to, like, watch something on Netflix, or and I won't be able to because it requires a system update, and it takes 40 minutes.
I know. I'll do that, too, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, I'll get all mad, and I'll turn on the Xbox instead. Okay, well, I can play this right away.
And God, I don't understand, because I have the background updating on. You know, there's an option to do all that stuff in the background when you're not using your system. And I have it on, but it doesn't do it. So, who the hell knows?
Files accessed.
Granted. All right.
No.
There's an article in Hero Complex out of the Los Angeles Times
that
Clive Barker has announced his intention to write a new script for a remake of Hellraiser.
You're damn right I'm a hero.
What? He's going to make a new Hellraiser?
Yep. The respected horror author and filmmaker made the announcement about his plans to revisit the S&M inflicted tale in a post on his Facebook page, saying he not only would pen it, but he secured an agreement from the Weinsteins for actor Doug Bradley to reprise the role of Pinhead.
The same Pinhead.
We'll tear your soul apart.
You know what? Yeah, I actually like the first Hellraiser.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad.
Hellraiser 2 is batshit insane.
Is Hellraiser 2 the one where he gets, like, two helpers? Like, the lady one and the short, stubby one? Or is that 3?
That's 3.
That's 3, yeah, yeah, okay.
In the Hellraiser 2. In Hellraiser 2, it's the same ones. It's the chatterer, the one that goes...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the other one? The chatterer and something else.
It is a woman that's got the voice box.
Yeah, it's
exposed.
A chick who's got her throat cut open.
Okay.
And the chatterer. And is there one more, like a chubby one? But anyway, they all get killed in Hellraiser 2. Spoiler alert.
No.
By the doctor. Remember the doctor has like this thing on his head?
Yeah, he's gone crazy.
Yeah. I just remember he goes, the doctor is in. So cheesy. But why is Clive Barker messing with this? I want him to make a sequel to Nightbreed. All right, Bill?
Well, that's the thing. Right now, he's touring with the new version of Nightbreed that has 40 minutes of additional footage. So it's more the original source material of Nightbreed.
Yeah, the director's cut or the uncut or whatever.
Uncut, yeah.
I'm curious about that because the book Cabal by Clive Barker, which he turned into the movie Nightbreed, is really good. I love that book so much, I've read it multiple times.
Yeah, I've read that two or three times because my sister's boyfriend always had it. And I was like, what's that about? And he's like, it's my favorite book.
I really like it. I haven't read it as an adult. I read it as a teenager several times. Like, I really got into it. I like Boone, you know?
Yeah.
And then the movie came out, and I was kind of into it, but I knew it. I really knew it wasn't a very good movie. It was kind of shitty, actually. Because the book has such incredible imagery that you come up with, and then you watch it, the movie, and it's obviously all in a, like, studio, like, on sets and everything. They couldn't do that much with it, but it has this really cool ending that's not really in the movie, and you, but you see the ending of the book on, like, in the opening titles to Nightbreed, a camera sweeps across cave paintings, and it shows the ending to the book on the cave, like, drawn on there.
Yeah.
And that's the ending of the movie, but the movie ends differently than that wall says. It's like the prophecy of whatever. And I remember Clive Barker saying it was a trilogy. And
oh, wow.
That book was written when? He's never written another one. And
was it was it in the 80s?
It might have been. Yeah, it was the 80s.
Yeah. Late 80s, like 88, 89.
Because I read it. Was I still in high school, maybe? Yeah, I think I was. So anyway, cut to 2013. He still hasn't written a second book. It's kind of annoying. So whenever the Clive Barker news comes on, a new book, I'm like, wait, is it Cabal 2? Is it the next book? No. Okay, don't want to hear about
it. Return of Boone.
Yeah. No. But so I do want to see that long version of it, but I'd rather have another book.
Yeah, but we got That really good movie with what's his name from Quantum Leap. That was wonderful.
Oh my god.
Lord of Illusions.
Lord of Illusions. Lord of Illusions. Yeah.
I saw that in the theater.
Oh my god, did you?
Yeah, with my sister, and I was way too young. That was 95, so let me see how old I was then.
There is a part where it's kind of creepy at the end where they want this weird cult members. They want to bring their guy back.
Yes. I was 14.
And they do bring him back, Bill, but his first thing he does is kill them.
Sinks them all in the quicksand earth.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah. He's not a particularly nice man. Guy. What was nice is it?
And Clive Barker had some kind of throat cancer or something because now he talks like this.
Yeah. Does he have one of those buzz boxes?
No, but he doesn't have a voice anymore.
You have a robot?
Oh, my God.
No, he doesn't.
I told you to close the goddamn door. Okay. In continuing news of... I don't know what NBC is thinking. Honestly, whoever is running the programming department at NBC is not going to have a job very long because they gave us a reimagining of Ironside that no one wanted. Half the people that would have even watched it didn't know what the hell Ironside was, where it was from.
The goddamn door.
You have a robot?
What was it? Oh, who did they cast as Ironside?
Blair Underwood.
Yeah, who the hell knows who Blair Underwood is at this point in his career?
What else? Last season, no. What they did another kind of, well, not to mention Bionic Woman, but there was something else that they brought back.
Didn't they redo Kojak?
No,
that happened on USA a long time ago. It was Vinnie Rames for like one season.
Oh, yeah. That's bullshit. I watch Kojak almost every night. You can't beat Telly Savalas.
Who loves you?
Yeah,
baby.
I thought they had redone it.
Okay, so we're NBC is going to continue this, and this time they're going to mine CBS because Murder She Wrote was on CBS, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
So they're going to bring again, keeping with the replacing the old white person with a younger black person theme. They are going to cast Octavia Spencer, who played one of the maids, and I believe she might have won the Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Help. Okay, she is going to take over the Angela Lansbury role in the remake of Murder, She Wrote.
Okay, here's where they're missing why those shows were successful. And I'll this is what they're missing. They
should have used the Whoopi.
A young black audience, like teenagers, are not going to watch Ironside, okay?
No.
They're not going to watch Murder, She Wrote either. You know who watched those shows?
My old white people.
My grandparents freaking loved Ironside, and they loved Murder, She Wrote.
They love Ironside. They love Murder, She Wrote. They love Matlock.
They need to cast old people in those roles the same way to get the old fogey audience.
But even the old fogey audience that watched them then are now either dead or so demented they can't watch television.
You're right.
They just sit there and piss themselves.
You're right. They shouldn't even bring them back.
Yeah, they shouldn't even bring them back because the people that they think would watch them are the people that hated them because they had to watch them.
My grandparents are no longer with us. They're not around to watch the new versions.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't get it. I don't get who's running NBC's programming right now, but they are dumb.
I'm sorry, but I might have watched it if it looked interesting, but it didn't.
No.
It didn't look interesting.
I just, you know what, if I want to watch Ironside, it's on MeTV on the weekends. I'll watch it then.
But also, you know what, okay, Murder, She Wrote was, she was a novelist, right, who wrote mystery books?
Here's the thing. The stuff that she would write would come true, so it was almost like she was the murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every episode, I think she actually was the murderer.
That's why I wanted it to end, the final episode, that she was like, she had pinned murders on all these innocent people.
Well, you know who I would have loved if, like, Father Dowling would have come and solved a mystery and pinned it on her.
Mysteries. No, but I was going to say that the show Castle with Nathan Fillion is about a mystery novel writer who teams up with a cop who solves crimes.
It's Murder, He Wrote.
Yeah, it is. It's Murder, He Wrote. And they probably even pitched that and they're like, hey, we like it. And now they're trying to do Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if it'll work, but it just seems like
I give it as many episodes as Ironside had. One.
Yeah. No, it had multiple episodes.
Well, I know it's canceled.
They even aired after it got canceled. They're burning them off, I think, because it aired this week.
All right.
I noticed that. I was actually listening to EW Radio. You know, I do that sometimes, Bill. Mm-hmm. I apologize. We could do our show is so much better than that, but they cover Miley Cyrus and stuff we never want to talk about, by the way.
Oh, twerking.
Have you guys heard of this new twerking thing? Oh my gosh.
She came in like a wrecking ball.
So, what the hell was that laugh, by the way? It was just wipe out. So, anyway, the guy was talking about the reason he doesn't think these shows, the reboots, are successful. You know, I'm sitting there listening as I'm driving, and I'm like, yeah, what does this jackass have to say? And he basically spelled it out that, like you said, Bill, the people who like these shows are dead.
Yeah.
As harsh it is to say,
it's true.
They're rolling over their graves, too.
I mean, we might as well dig up Tom Bosley while we're at it, you know? Do the priestly Father Dowling mysteries.
I love Father Dowling. No, I never watched that show. I think I would roll my eyes when I'd see the commercials.
I think they were on back-to-back that night. Oh, wait, it was like Sunday night on CBS, Murder, She Wrote, and Father Dowling Mysteries.
What was the Dick Van Dyke show where he solved mysteries?
Diagnosis Murder.
Diagnosis Murder, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, the grandparents were like, ooh, I'm going to watch this show. I remember
You know what that show was missing was Pratfalls.
You know what? But my grandparents, for years, black and white, they always watch Perry Mason. The show.
I watch Perry Mason every night.
I mean, it's modern day, and they're still watching Perry Mason.
Yeah, me too. I love it. It cracks me up. It's hilarious.
You know what? I'll say this about Perry Mason. It has the most rockin' kick-ass theme music ever.
It really does have some great.
Awesome.
It's like really, it's noirish and just, yeah, it's awesome.
And Ironside, you know, we even know Quentin Tarantino loved that. That had pretty badass music, too. You know, with the Blair Underwood version, did they try to do a modern version of that music, or did they not bother?
I don't know. They should have. I don't know. Yeah,
all right, Bill, I'll let you move on.
It's And I love watching Perry Mason because I think there's only two episodes where he actually loses, but he doesn't actually lose. It's like it's fixed in a later episode or something.
He's a pretty badass lawyer.
But that guy that he's always up against, that Hamilton Berger, it's just he's so miserable. He never wins. I don't know how he keeps his job.
Did that guy, like, kill himself in one of the episodes?
I would think he would have had to.
Oh. Well, here's an even better story, Bill.
I had a sick pig. I'd quit.
Better put him down.
That's a great episode of the show, guys. Why don't you write some more like that?
In a story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
yes, he did. And we have a story coming from EW here about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't need a superhero because every week the ratings are slipping.
You know, I watch it every week, and that I Spy episode where the chick had the camera in her eye, I thought was really good. But
it was well done.
I thought this week's episode was kind of lame.
Week's episode was just dumb.
And I'm trying to remember it now.
It was Scorch, the Asian.
Oh yeah, Scorch. I thought that was like last week, really, you know, like, all right, this is where the direction we need to go, and then back to a guy with superpowers and some evil scientist. It's very, you know, I grant
he's got some weak ass superpowers.
It was Smallville.
It's very comic booky type of plot, which I know this is like comic book, but I think they could be better.
I wish it would be better because I want to like this show. I just don't.
I think it will get better, honestly.
I hope so because, get rid of Ming-Na. She doesn't do anything. She's not, you know, she's really probably the biggest throwaway character on the show.
She's like the badass who doesn't want to fight, and then she does, and then, or something.
Yeah, she's just quiet. She's there for action scenes, and even the action scenes are a little underwhelming.
I do think it will get better, but maybe start watching in season two, maybe. Like, I think, like, Arrow, season two has been pretty badass. Like, season one of Arrow, while I thought it had potential, remember how I keep saying, Bill, don't watch it yet, but I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
It's not Smallville bad or anything, but it has scenes where people talk for too long, and I'm like, Jesus, can we get on with it, you know?
So they're a little too obsessed with themselves, the writers on Arrow.
Right.
Let's
and now
throw
this
ton
season,
of exposition at people.
And this season, there's more action, people getting their asses kicked and stuff, and I'm getting into that. I do, like, they have this device where they keep flashing back to the island like 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, they'll be done with that by the end of season one. They're still flashing back to the freaking island on season two, Steven. When are they going to be done with the flashbacks?
When all his training is exposed.
It'll go, and it show, and the worst part about it, Bill, it's kind of like revenge whenever they do a flashback. Ooh. Everyone has bad wigs on because they're shorter in present
this day. Is the first time I watched this week's episode, Revenge. It's the first episode I've watched in probably...
I haven't watched it yet.
I didn't watch any of last season.
Oh, I did.
But I watched this first episode, this one episode, and I was just like, oh, okay, all right, well, that's all right. I'm totally confused, and this doesn't make any sense at all, and these characters have no idea what they're doing, but all right. I'm good.
But they need to stop doing flashbacks where everyone's wearing a horrible wig, you know?
Yeah, I was just curious, and I just don't get the point of it anymore. It seems like they're just sort of grabbing it like overly soapy, dramatic straws.
I'm telling you right now, we already talked about the Sleepy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really enjoying Blacklist every week.
I'm going to start watching Blacklist. I love Sleepy Hollow. I have so much fun with it. I hate that there's not going to be a new episode until Monday the 4th.
Yeah, and I figured out why.
Why?
The World Series.
Oh, screw the World Series.
With Joe Buck in the World Series.
Joe Buck can go take a flying fly thing.
Duck?
Yes.
Oh, it sucks.
But, yes.
You know
flying
what?
Suck.
On the Blacklist, they had Tom Noonan, like I said, the Tooth Fairy from Manhunter. The
awesome.
Week after, they had Robert Knepper, I believe that's his name.
Yeah.
He was a scary bad guy, wasn't he? Creepy.
All right, continuing on the news, let's wrap this up. North Dakota, Fargo, North Dakota, Bishop of the Fargo Catholic Diocese in North Dakota has exposed potentially hundreds of church members to Hep A.
Where's Pancake's house?
He don't eat him at the church.
Exposed to what, Bill?
Hepatitis A.
Is a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
The diocese announced Monday that Bishop John Folda is taking time off after being diagnosed with Hep A.
I had a sick pig. I quit.
Contracted the infection through contaminated food while attending a conference for newly ordained bishops in Italy.
You're such a super lady.
They're like, hey, welcome to the church. Now here's something that will eventually kill you.
Is that a piece of shit?
Now we know who's making him sick on Walking Dead. It's this guy.
Yep, it's Hep A. They all have Hep A now.
Damn it, that sucks.
No, I think Hep A is the one that if you don't keep under control, it can, like, destroy your organs or something.
Oh, wow.
I have to look it up. Yeah, it's an infectious hepatitis. Of the liver. Yep. So, yeah, if you don't manage it, it eventually destroys your liver, and then, well, you either need a liver transplant or you die, so...
I always liked you so much.
Yeah. If you ever get symptoms of fatigue, do you have fatigue?
Yes. Yeah, I do right now.
Do you have a fever?
Occasionally.
Yes.
Okay, are you nauseous?
Yes.
Sometimes.
Are you ever not hungry? You have a loss of appetite?
I'm not hungry right now.
I'm always hungry.
Stop it.
How about yellowing of the skin or eyes? Do you have jaundice?
Well, stop at Pancake's house.
I like to go to Pancake's house a lot, Bill.
All right. Do you pee bile?
No.
Is your pee very dark amber? Are you peeing red pee?
No.
Do you have the shits?
No.
Yes.
No.
Is it clay colored?
You're in big trouble, though, pal. No. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
All right. Well, then you're all done.
Oh, no.
You got this from this guy in Fargo. You probably got it from Pancake.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
No.
All right, and finally wrapping up with a feel-good story.
That was really gross, by the way.
In Oslo, Norway,
it's a little scary.
A hunter took aim at a moose, but missed and accidentally hit a man sitting on the toilet in a nearby cabin.
Holy shit.
He's all bulgy. He's like a moose.
The bullet whizzed past the animal, pierced the wooden wall, and struck the man in the stomach.
Oh, man, that sucks. The guy's just probably reading the paper or something. Sitting
dropping
on the blog, reading
relaxing.
Twitter. And then he gets shot.
Yep, he gets a bullet in the gut. The victim was flown by a helicopter to a hospital, but his injury was not life-threatening.
Oh, he's okay?
Yeah, he's okay. He's all right.
I'm okay!
I'd quit.
I'm all right. I'm not a sick pig.
I really sympathize.
And the hunter was taken in for questioning. The moose escaped unscathed.
And a related story of a today,
moose.
Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
I think the moose planned it.
You see him over there, he's like, dun, dun.
I hate that.
If I stand right here, this guy looks kind of shaky. I don't think he's going to hit me, so he'll hit this guy that hunted me earlier and knock him out. Yeah. Damn conspiratorial moose.
That moose is really like, he's malicious.
It's a malicious moose.
Malicious moose.
He's all bulgy. He's like a moose.
All right, and finally, we'll do one last one here. Columbus, Georgia. Officials are still investigating a case of a house fire that broke out on Oates Avenue in Columbus, Georgia. Residents are blaming a newly installed water heater.
Maybe six a little adults, smoke. No far.
Six adults, two young children were inside watching television when the room began filling with smoke. After the children were rescued and everyone... Rescued? Jesus. rescued, and everyone made it outside safely. A man who walks with a cane went back in the burning house to retrieve something he left behind. Was it a pet? A child? A family heirloom? No, he just went to get his beer.
Pork chop sandwiches!
And pork chop sandwiches. I went back in the house like a dummy, and the door shut on me because this backdraft was about to kill me.
Get something important, because I'm not drinking that crap.
But I managed to save several cans of beer.
Yeah, he does. That beer gets ruined if it boils or something.
It does. He needs his beer.
Nothing a few beers can't fix, right?
There's beer in Texarkana, but apparently not how Needham.
Is there a more, like, redneck backwards name than Texarkana?
No.
Texarkana!
He was my fat ass home.
And the fact that they actually squeezed Texarkana into a song.
They squished Texas and Arkansas together and made Texarkana the bastard child.
The bastard child.
It's on both sides.
Yes, and as I said, Hal Needham has passed away.
Yeah, Hal Needham, the inventor of Megaforce.
Yes, the inventor of jet bike.
This is a sickness.
You know, okay, when I was a kid, jet bike, that idea, pretty cool.
Absolutely it was.
Okay,
but
forget
then as
the
you
script
age and you go, how old was he when he came up with that?
Forget the script and all that, Bill. Just the toys would have been awesome. You know?
The toys would have been awesome. It would have.
But you
I'll
know what?
Give him that. I think he was of a time and a place, you know, that kind of cornball 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Hal Needham was a stuntman who turned into a director.
Yeah, he was. I think his first thing was like in 1956 on Mike Hammer.
He was like
he just did stunts forever.
I could direct better than this. When I was a kid, his movies were sensibilities for children, right? But they were adult movies.
Yes.
Like, I thought that Jackie Chan's like little Subaru car was so
cool.
Yeah,
the Cannonball Run 2.
Yeah.
Or was that one that he was in? I thought he was in 2.
It's in the first Cannonball Run, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, he spent so much time on sets of amazing films. I mean, like, he was the stunt coordinator at Chinatown, you know, stuff like that. French Connection.
He looked like a guy who probably smoked a lot.
Oh, yeah. Normally when your teeth are almost transparent yellow.
Transparent. Steven, let me ask you this.
Looks like butter.
Honestly, he looked like death.
You were a fan of Smokey and the Bandit, right?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you watch that as a kid?
I couldn't tell.
Gazillion?
Yeah.
On the old kind of cable where it was only like 2 channels, and they'd show Smokey and the Bandit. Or Smoking the Man at 2, even worse.
or you could get even worse, the one that I watched over and over again. The one that didn't even have Burt Reynolds except for 30 seconds at the end whenever Jackie Gleason's character has a freaking delusion with Jerry Reed.
Yeah.
What a badass.
Bandit, Smoking a Bandit 3.
Yeah, that was kind of a phone-in, wasn't it? I'll show up at the end.
I'll just show up and I'll not even actually be there in the context of the film. It's just Jackie Gleason having a complete and total delusion.
It's an Easter egg for viewers who paid money.
But at least he didn't direct that one.
Was the third one straight to TV, or did that come out in theaters?
Yeah, it was at the theater.
That came out in theaters.
Oh, wow, Jesus. But
we were desperate.
Didn't Hal Needham only direct the first one, though?
Yeah. No, he directed the first two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did Smokey and a Bandit and Smokey and a Bandit 2.
What about, was it Stoker 8? Stroker 8.
Stroker 8, yeah, he did that.
That was the one with Jim Nabors.
Yeah.
Hooper, they jumped the bridge. Thought that was badass when I was a kid.
Rad.
Never saw Rad.
Rad was the BMX bikes, correct?
Yeah. I think I always wanted to see it as a kid, but my dad wouldn't rent it. Dad, rent Rad. I'm not renting that.
And then the one I saw the most of any of his films, 1986 masterpiece Body Slam with Dirk Benedict and Roddy Piper.
I have no idea what that is.
It is literally, Dirk Benedict is his sleazy manager who decides he's going to become like a wrestling manager.
Sounds like a great plot so far.
Yeah, he hooks up with Roddy Piper and becomes a wrestling manager and starts to book matches. And it's so freaking terrible.
Was it made for TV?
No.
I've never heard of it. That doesn't exist. You're making that up.
No, it does. It, trailers are on YouTube. It's, I mean, I understand. He was a, it's like he gave in his speech at the governor's ball, like he felt he was the luckiest man alive, because he was. He was a god-awful filmmaker who actually made films that people watched.
He made movies that people enjoyed.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, growing up, I was born in 79, so I think Smokey and the Bandit was 77, and yep. Smokey and the Bandit 2 was 80, and all that. So I didn't really, I wasn't around for that time, but when my dad would watch them, I just hated them.
But come on, Cannonball Run.
As in, now I can appreciate them for what they are, how much fun they're actually having making the movies. But they're inconsequential. I mean, they're not like, they're not great films.
Do you believe he's sick?
I just sometimes don't understand. I think the appreciation of Hal Needham has more to do with the nostalgia.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Skill.
That's a lot of our love of old films when we grew up is nostalgia. Some of the films are really good, and sometimes it's just films we loved when we were kids watching.
But
and
I guess
my voice is breaking.
I just wasn't of that time. I don't have that appreciation for him.
Right.
I mean, I own Megaforce because it's just so awful on every level.
It is an awful movie that's fun to watch with your friends and rag on it.
And laugh at.
The part when he kisses his thumb, and gives the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And it's so funny that that's Barry Bostwick, you know, and he's wearing this skin-tied outfit.
It's Brad from Rocky Horror and the mayor from Spin City.
It's hilarious. So,
and that's it. That's news. So rest in peace, Hal Needham. I hope there are cigarettes in heaven.
Oh, that didn't sound sincere, Bill.
What?
He
liked his tobacco.
All right. Thanks for doing the news this week.
No problem.
How would you like to do some? Oh wait, Bill.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
He graduated. Why aren't you guys laughing? Oh, wait. Here's another story, Bill. Sorry.
I had a sick pig. I'd quit.
Yep. That's,
that is that. You know what? That is probably the most concise, heartfelt story I've ever heard.
It is. It's beautiful. It's a haiku, really, isn't it?
Is it 575? I don't know.
All right. Let's do the DVDs, Steven, and I'm going to let you sing most of it. I'm just going to kind of talk, okay?
Just sit back and enjoy.
All right. Here we go. Let's do the DVDs. Woohoo.
Let's do some DVDs.
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition. DVDs. Oh, hell yes, the DVDs, everyone.
Now you can scream.
Hey, what does that mean?
What a badass.
Thanks, Molly. You know what, Bill? I'll be right back. I've got to pee.
No, go for it. I've done it to you the past couple weeks.
It's just I'm drinking so much water for my throat.
No, it's good.
All right, you and Steven talk. I'll be right back.
Hi, Steven.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm good.
How was LA?
My post this week?
What?
I finished Steelheart.
Oh, did you finish it?
Yes.
I haven't read it in a while. I think I'm like 80 pages in. I haven't had much time to.
I was like, but I knew Bill Reed.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
I know. When I opened it, I read the prologue and hey, dig it out from this shit. Okay, here we go. It doesn't look like I should just really dedicate myself to it because it's very large text.
Yeah.
It's not a long read.
Well, I couldn't tell. Mine's on the iPad, so.
Jason sent it to me for my birthday.
Sweet.
Yeah, I appreciated that. Did you, Jason said you were going to go to the Celebrity Center. Did you get your picture taken?
I worked right across the street from the Celebrity Center.
Oh, really? Right. He told me that you were going to go there and take a picture of it, and I was like, don't have him take a picture of it, because if they see him holding up his phone to take a picture of it, they're going to take a picture of him, and then it's going to come back to us, and all of our lives are going to be ruined.
No, I went up to the Griffith Observatory.
Oh, sweet.
So did the tour and all that fun stuff. I'll post a picture.
That's cool.
That was neat. I've always wanted to go there. I've never gone there as many times as I've been.
I went there a couple times while I was playing Grand Theft Auto V. I've always wanted to be there. I mean, it's been in so many things.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Minehead is?
Yeah. Yeah, I sent Jason the photo as like, gotcha, sucker.
Ah!
He started laughing at that.
I wish I traveled as much as you do. Because at least you get to, it's hard work, but at least you get to see things.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back, guys.
Yay. We're having a conversation here, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I
He went to Minehead.
I hope you had a hell of a piss, Arnold.
I did. Welcome to Minehead.
And I saw there was Chubby Rain.
Happy premise number one.
All right, Bill. What DVDs do we have this week, Bill?
Okay. We're doing DVDs for October 29th, 2013. And since there's literally only like three, I'm going to do them and then go immediately to the next week because we aren't doing a show next Friday and we might as well cover the DVDs also.
Very all right, wise, so,
starting with Cars 3D on Blu-ray.
No, boo.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the worst Pixar film next to... Well, no, that Planes wasn't Pixar.
Yeah, that was Disney, right?
Yeah, that was Disney. I just could give a shit about Cars, and it just didn't seem inspired, and it was just boring and just... Bleh.
Yeah, I've ranted before about how it doesn't make sense...
And how do they go to the bathroom?
How were they built? Who built them?
Yeah.
Why do they make
buildings? That's the story I want to know.
Yeah. It doesn't
like, is there a car Bible?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. If we really went into it, there's so many things that don't make sense. Like, they don't have hands.
It makes me think of that movie that was so promising, but just was kind of convoluted mess. Nine.
No.
The Ragdolls.
I'll never forget that. The short film was so cool and artistic and beautiful. And then the movie came out. It was a hunk of shit.
Yeah, I remember sitting down. That was whenever I had my projector and screen and everything. And I had just gotten it finally fixed and hooked up. And I was like, oh, I'm going to watch Nine.
Nine.
And yeah, I sat there. And I was like, oh, God. Oh, boy.
I was so disappointed in it. The story wasn't good.
No, at all. All right, moving on. We have Monsters University 3D.
I loved Monsters University.
I adored Monsters University. It was just so much fun, so much joy. It was just goofy and fun, and I was not expecting it. In fact, on the show, I said a million times that I just wasn't sure about it, and it just charmed the pants off me.
Yeah, I mean, so many people are like, oh, it's not as good as the first Monsters, Inc. Like, why?
You're an inhuman monster!
I mean, we knew it wasn't going to be. It's going to be a different kind of movie. It's a prequel.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. It's funny, and it's got that sense of, you know, them building their friendship.
Yep.
And it has Squishy.
I love Squishy. Squishy and his, oh, shit. I wish I could remember their names. I only remember Squishy now. Silent Squishy.
I love Squishy. Whoa, where did you come from?
Yeah.
Like right there.
You gotta stop doing that.
Yeah, we gotta put a bell on you or something. They all
and
have
I
their
love
own
the character that Charlie Day played, the long leg thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what was its name?
They have different tasks they have to do, and that one where the scary librarian was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Or it was like there was like a stealth mission. You had to stay out of the sight line.
Yeah, she would throw you out into the lake.
I mean, it was really a fun movie. I loved it.
It even had like surprised me in parts. I want to own that on 3D Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely pick it up this week.
3D Blu-ray.
Speaking of a film I won't be owning on 3D Blu-ray, RIPD, the Rest in Peace Department.
R.I.P.D.
Mm-hmm.
With
Jeff Bridges.
Yep.
Ryan Reynolds. And Kevin Bacon.
I'm going to let rip again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically Jeff Bridges playing Rooster,
Tommy Lee Jones.
Rooster Cockburn.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And his part looked like a lot of fun, but man, the CGI in that looked like, okay, we're out of money, guys. We can't do anymore. No way. It doesn't look real. It doesn't look good. But release the movie. Just put the movie out.
People watch Sharknado. They're not going to care about
Ryan
this.
Ryan Reynolds is like, are you guys kidding? The last movie I did was Green Lantern, and that sucked. We can't do this. Sorry, man. Shit.
Take that paycheck and deal with it. You're going to need it for a while. Spend it wisely.
Yeah, good. Ryan Reynolds, please fire your agent.
Or just start making better decisions.
I guarantee you the movie is probably it's probably fun in a throwaway kind of way that you instantly forget it after you see it.
No, I watched it.
Oh, you did?
It's
awesome.
Insufferable.
It's insufferable?
Yeah, it really is. It's just, he tries so hard to keep that, like, that tongue-in-cheek character, and Jeff Bridges is just, he can tell he's in physical pain. Like, it's just not a fun movie to watch.
It looked
at
like
all.
The whole gag of the Asian man and then Marissa Miller being their alter egos that was like the funniest part, right?
Yeah, that was. It was.
And it's not even those actors in the scene.
And the whole reason I watched it is for Kevin Bacon. And they just gave him nothing to do.
Where the hell's Kevin Bacon in the movie? Because he's not in the trailer, is he?
He's his partner.
Oh.
Real life.
What a badass.
Yeah.
So Kevin Bacon's in that movie?
Yes, he's in it. And like, that's the only reason that I watched it.
Guys, you don't need to have me in the trailer. I don't want to, it's better if nobody sees this movie.
Please. Yeah,
let me ask you this, because it looks exactly like Men in Black. Is it Men in Black?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It just is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Does it even make sense why the creatures are trying to get away? Is it like Ghostbusters? Like,
yeah, it is. Yeah,
they're all.
I
just...
mean, I could spoil it, but I don't want to do that for other people that might actually enjoy it. I could just be an asshole.
Is there a Slimer type character?
Sort of.
I am so disappointed.
Okay. Is it in 3D?
Yes.
Awesome. How did the 3D look?
Terrible.
Boo.
Yeah, I mean, it's muddy. It's that kind of, I think it's post-converted. It obviously wasn't shot in 3D.
Right. But the effects are good, right?
Oh, they were beautiful. I mean, like, I haven't seen better effects than on, like, Mansquito.
Mansquito?
Mm-hmm. Squido. The movie were Man Squid.
Oh, yeah, that was... Never mind. I remember now. I remember, Bill. I'm sick. You can't be mad.
No, I'm not mad at you.
In a related story to
Jay,
Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
Vin Diesel graduated kindergarten, Bill.
You know what? We should really send him a congratulations.
He finally made all these movies. He's like, it's really always bothered me that I never graduated kindergarten. I'm going to do it, guys.
He'll get his GED and everyone will celebrate. That's going to be the next Fast and Furious.
He'll be the badge of...
But it's not even his GED. It's kindergarten. That's why it's funny, right?
We should send him a pacifier.
Steven, maybe you should leave.
I went for the bad joke. I told you I was going for it.
It sucks.
All right, moving on. Grown Ups 2 will hit Blu-ray on November 5th.
Grown Ups 2, huh?
Thank goodness.
While you're there picking up Grown Ups 2, why not pick up The Hobbit Unexpected Journey 3D Extended Edition?
You're a grown-ass man.
I want to see The Hobbit in the what? This is the extended big
This is the extended edition.
Sweet. You know, I finally
in 3D.
got... Heather to watch The Hobbit, like, on HBO or whatever. It's like, see? It's entertaining. You can't get up and leave the room now. You're into it.
She didn't want to see it?
Not in the theater, no. Because they're long movies, you know?
I didn't think The Hobbit was that long.
Oh, you're on.
It's no, really. Hours. I didn't think it was that long.
How long is it? Isn't it 3 hours?
Pretty close.
I mean, I can handle a long movie, but some people just don't want to wait.
I guess it just didn't feel long.
It's, you know, some movies, that's the kind of movie you need to see in a big screen in theater, I think. But also, Some people don't want to sit in a theater that long.
So, The Hobbit Extended Edition is 169 minutes. And if it's 20 minutes longer... You know, that's not that long.
No, 149 it's not.
Minutes.
Right.
That's not bad at all. A little over 2 hours.
Yep, not that long.
You know, this isn't, you know, Return of the King Extended Edition. This isn't nearly 4 hours.
You're right. It is pretty short.
All right, moving on. We have Mickey's Christmas Carol 30th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray.
Mickey!
I watched this every year as a kid, and I loved it. School, around Christmas, they would bring out the 16mm projector and throw it on, and just, that is my happy place, Mickey's Christmas
Carol. You're goofy.
It's just one of those things that I have a deep, deep love for.
I know, it got that Christmas magic on it, right?
It does, it really does. This is, 10th anniversary edition of Old Boy is hitting Blu-ray.
Wow, that thing's been out that long.
I've been trying to get you to watch it for almost as long as we've had a show. How about that?
Now Steven needs to watch it.
He does.
It was on the other night, I came in, I saw it.
Did you watch it?
No, it had already started, so I didn't start watching it.
He was like, what's this shit? I'm turning this off.
It had been on 30 minutes already.
I'm just an old country boy.
Freaking subtitles. Next, we have Parkland. I guess this is the new JFK movie thing with James Badgedale and Zac Efron.
I heard an interview with the director. I'm curious about it. It's about the doctor who they wheeled in the president. He's been shot in the head, and he's
what do you want me to do with
this? This guy happened to be on duty that night. Can you imagine that?
So that's where he was taken to Parkland.
Hospital. So,
yeah, this I've heard. I'm interested in it. I like James Badgedale.
I do too. You know what? He had a great summer. He was in all sorts of movies. He was in Iron Man 3.
He was the best part of the zombie movie.
Yeah, World War Z.
Yeah.
He was great in it. And he knew what he had to do, Bill.
He did. His whole team did.
Yeah.
They knew what they had to do.
I've always liked James Badgedale. He was in this show that I loved on AMC called... It was called, it's like when you've gone too far, you can't go back. It is Rubicon.
Rubicon. Yes. That's the way to, it was circular thinking there.
Yes. He was in a show called Rubicon that I loved, and they canceled it because no one watched it.
Wow. That's too bad.
And he was the star. It's a good show.
And he was good. He was good. He was my favorite part of the Pacific. And I wasn't really a fan of that series.
You know, I was a fan of the series, but like you said, when his character goes home and he's done and the show keeps going, it kind of suffered a little bit.
Yeah, I can't fault it, but I can't help but compare it to Band of Brothers, and Band of Brothers was
You can't do that.
I can't help
you
it.
You can't do that.
I expect quality.
You can't do it. They were both quality shows. They were just two different stories, Bill.
I know, but I didn't care for the characters as much for some reason.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It was hard. It was hard.
Maybe it's like the lack of camaraderie. I don't
listen
know.
To what I say.
I don't know. I'm not going to listen to you. You can't change my mind.
I'm done. we'll hit these real quick. There's some of those digibooks, you know, the things that look like little books that they like releasing Blu-rays in now. They're doing the right stuff in a digibook.
And
what the hell is a digibook again?
Digibook. It looks like a little hardback book. It's really cute. It's like a little book, and it's got a Blu-ray in there.
Oh, like, that's cute.
Like I have to read the right stuff. Oh, look. Oh, my gosh. It's a little Blu-ray in there. It's so cute.
Boy, you're cute.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Let's hit the road.
No.
Now, in a steel book is whenever they're hardcore and they're made of metal and they've got like a plastic insert that the Blu-ray's in.
Yeah, that's a man's Blu-ray, right? Yeah.
I just bought the man's man version of The Lost Boys in steelbook.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah, and what it's I love it because it's the original art. You know, there's no shit on it or anything. It's just... they're releasing a 25th anniversary... Sorry. Whoops. Sorry.
That was a long ass drop. It needs to be edited down, Foggy.
They're releasing a 25th anniversary steelbook of Scrooged.
Hey, Scrooge.
I saw that in the theater with my mom.
Do you guys like that movie?
Yes.
I love Scrooge.
It's kind of a ripoff of Scrooge.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think it's just a D. Just, you know, just a dun, little dun, D.
Dun, 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 dun.
Just keeps going, doesn't it?
Yeah, it will. If you haven't picked up any of the Twilight films on Blu-ray, now's your time. You can pick up Twilight Forever, the complete saga.
Team Jacob, what about you, Steven?
Yes.
The other guy.
No. I'm Team Mustache, the dad.
Team Mustache. You're Team Billy Burke?
I'm Team Billy Burke.
You know what's funny is I watched Twilight. I watched the second one. I think I even watched the third one, but I never watched the final two.
And it's supposed to be the best one. It's balls out nutty.
Because I watched them with Heather, and I was like, yeah, I'll watch them with you. She lost interest, so I never watched them anymore. I never had to, so...
Apparently, the last one, they even went as far as to completely troll the audience.
I am so...
There's, like, some huge battle where everyone dies, and then it turns out to be a dream.
Oh, my God, I love it!
Yeah, they totally screwed with everyone. They were like, oh, my God, they changed the ending. I can't believe that just happened. Oh, it was a dream.
What show was that the other day, or maybe it was a week ago, where there was a double dream in it?
Oh, God.
Where a character, something happened, then they woke up, and then they cut to another person, and something horrible was happening, and then they woke up, too. Was that in Sleepy Hollow?
That might have Sleepy been, Hollow. Yeah. I think it was Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah, they had the double.
It was the demon dreams.
Yeah. And it's funny, because Heather and I'll be watching, and I go, she's dreaming. And then, like... It was a double dream. It's like, oh, I didn't know they were going to do that. It's like, oh, okay. Because they were like,
when my dad calls me in his room to show me something on YouTube that he's really impressed by, and I immediately go, oh, that's fake. It's just because I can depend on that sometimes. All right. Under the Dome is now hitting Blu-ray. If anyone doesn't care to watch it because they shouldn't, because it's freaking awful.
Well, Bill, you gave it such a ringing endorsement.
It's just such a waste of time.
And the thing is, you loved the book, too, didn't you?
I really did. It reminded me so much, kind of that town atmosphere of, like, Salem's Lot kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think they did wrong on the show? What happened?
The writing, the acting, the directing.
Okay, I never watched the show. I mean, I had like 10 episodes recorded. I had, you know, I started the pilot and then something happened where I never watched the rest of it. But I saw people complaining all the time, tweeting all the time that they hated the storyline with the girl chained down in the bomb shelter.
Yes.
How dragged out was that story?
It was totally different from the book because in the book she dies.
Well, what if I wanted to read the book?
It doesn't matter. It's one of those non-consequential things that actually furthers the plot for another character. So it's not like a spoiler in any way.
So they didn't kill her character on the show. They decided to keep her alive.
No, because she's played by
Britt Robertson, and she's like a huge ratings grabber. You know, all the CW people watch it because she's on it.
But her show on the CW got canceled.
Well, she's now got a job with Under the Dome because now they're going to drag this thing out as long as possible.
She was on that show we watched called Life Unexpected.
Yes, and I actually really liked that show.
I liked it too, but they made it ridiculous. They put so many obstacles in the characters' ways. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I liked her and her her best friend, the really cute girl that was on...
Lost Girl,
yes. Senya... No.
I can't remember, but yeah, you're close.
Yeah. Okay, and moving on. So Under the Dome, don't bother. It's terrible. Dean Norris is the best part of it. The rest of it is just... It's bullshit.
How about you watch Dean Norris on Breaking Bad instead?
There you go. And he has like a 5-minute part in The Counselor also, so it was nice to see him there.
I saw him on the commercial, so I was like, oh, he's throughout that whole movie.
No, 5 minutes. All right, next we have White House Down on Blu-ray.
Awesome. Did you guys see that?
No.
It looked like Die Hard in the White House, right?
I'll wait till it hits HBO. And finally, Winnie the Pooh, A Very Merry Pooh Year. That does not sound good. But it is what it is.
What does Winnie the Pooh always say, Belle?
Oh, bother.
Step right up and pee, or poo.
Oh.
Or both.
He says, oh, bother. Yeah. Because it's funny, like on Facebook, I'll sometimes see you say, oh, bother. But I'm like, he meant to say, oh, brother. He didn't. He left the R out. And then I was like, oh, wait, he's doing Winnie the Pooh.
Yep.
It's so good that I didn't go, Bill, I think you meant, oh, brother. And then go,
I'm sure there's plenty of people that would want to. But, no, Marty McFly didn't arrive on that day. Yeah, I think Winnie the Pooh is one of those things that I grew up with that I just have a certain nostalgic love for.
Marty was in a time machine. He could arrive any year he wants to, so they're all accurate.
They're all accurate.
It's a different timeline, right?
Yep. And that's Blu-rays for the next 2 weeks.
I have one question to ask you, though. Before you're done, is last week Pacific Rim came out, right?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
How does it look?
It's gorgeous. It's a really fantastic transfer. The sound is awesome. I mean, granted, I don't have an IMAX theater, but it's thumping, bumping awesomeness.
Do you have Atmos?
No, I don't have 62.2 channels. I have 7.2. Sorry.
It's a little scary.
That's cool, though.
But I'm really looking forward to this Tuesday morning. I leave to go to East Lansing, Michigan until Friday morning. And somewhere in between that time, I'm going to drive about 40 minutes into Novi, Michigan, and see Gravity in the Atmos Theater.
Oh, nice. Is it true that parts of Michigan look post-apocalyptic?
Yes.
Or is that mostly Detroit?
Detroit's pretty freaking awful. I mean, I could take pictures, but I grew up about 30 minutes outside of, didn't grow up, but I spent my teen years about 30 minutes outside of Detroit in Canton, Michigan, and we would go into Detroit for like a Tigers game at the old stadium, and it's scary. I mean, everything's boarded up. Everything's got gates up. There's this gorgeous, massive train station that it's like 8 feet tall, and it's just ornate, and it's filled with marble and gold, and it's just stunning. And it, like, every window is knocked out. It's basically a hobo palace now.
Stunning.
Yeah, it's really Detroit. I don't know. I haven't been there in 20 years. So maybe they've gotten their act together, but with them just declaring bankruptcy within the past year or so, I doubt they have.
Whoa.
But yeah, I mean, it's a shithole.
I had a sick pig. I'd quit.
I think that's Detroit. That's the name of the pig.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week. It was pretty awesome.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may.
What do you say?
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And scene.
A little scary.
That's so cool. I finally got to use that music. That basically, there was a Halloween episode of Chuck in season 4, and the end credit music, that was it.
Oh, nice.
And when I watched it, I don't know, whenever I first watched it, it was a long time ago, but I was like, oh, I gotta use that music for a Halloween type episode. And I remembered today, like, oh shit, I could use it. And I had to, like, get out the Blu-ray and find the episode and fast-forward it and shit. And finally I got it. But yay, I accomplished something. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Isn't that cool, Steve?
And the crowd went wild.
Awesome. Yeah, so that's my story about that song.
In a related story today, Vin Diesel graduated from kindergarten.
That is no way related to what I just said. How is
doesn't
that
related? Doesn't have to. It's Arsenio. His comedy is out of this world.
Hey, here's a cool story.
Shut up.
What is your cool story?
I had a sick pig.
No, not you. Arsenio. Oh, forget it. All right, guys. That was episode 284 of Entertainment Landfill. I'm trying to talk where I don't
hurt good
my
work.
Voice.
I can't. 3 hours, man. Way to go.
I created a new voicemail. It's 1206-376-0272. And now you have to send voicemails because after 30 days, it goes away. It's just the way it's set up. It's a free service, so I can't complain. I'm not paying for anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a cool service because when you send the voicemail, it goes right to my email. It's pretty awesome. Pretty fancy, you know? It also has a fax, too. So if anyone's like,
that's the fax, Jack.
But, you know, I actually put it in my phone so I can call, like, every once in a while and leave a voicemail to myself. Hey, Jason, don't let it lapse. This is your creepy stalker. Who are you? Who are why you keep calling me? And it turns out
love
to be me
the way the
whole
sun
time.
Shines through your hair on an autumn evening.
It's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's like the guy stalking himself. Wouldn't that be pretty cool?
From the past.
Yeah. That's pretty creepy. From the
well,
past.
I'm scared.
Well, I guess if you left it a few minutes ago, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I get what you're going, Steven. That's pretty...
Steven's watching himself from outside
he's
your house right now.
Yeah. You're sick, Steven.
I was here last week.
You need help, buddy.
All right, guys. Let's hit the road.
Hey. No, not yet. Okay. If you'd like to go to etlandfill.com, you can find a link to all of us on Twitter, and you can join our ET Landfill fan club, Bill. You can go on the Facebook and leave comments about all of our episodes, right?
Yeah, we could have some fun on there.
Yeah. We could poke you on Facebook. Oh, that's whoa. Creepy.
Is that still around? Can you still poke people?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, Steven knows. He's been doing it recently.
Steven's a dirty poker.
That's creepy.
Poke that piggy.
Is that shirts?
Poke that sick piggy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's poke shirts.
That. I hardly even know him.
Oh, dear. Well, also, you know what? You could go to a link that says the archive, and it has all of our old episodes on it. If you want to listen to those, there was this old show we did called Nowhere in Mulberry. How many episodes have we... Let's see, we're on 284, we changed to ET Landfill 270. So, mm-hmm. That's pretty... We've been changed for a while now, Steven.
Yeah, I think it's enough time for people to get used to it.
Yeah, it is.
And really they just come flocking back.
Yeah, they're like, I don't like the new name. I'm not ever listening to them again. Oh my God, why? What's going on?
The most inept person I've ever met in my life.
Oh, okay. But if you guys also, you know, some people like Rick and Hannah and J.F. Sebastian from Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. They say you're Blade Runner.
They sent voicemails from our email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. You could do that, too.
Is that part of the test?
Yes, it is.
Eyes. I do eyes.
I make your eyes. You know, in the J.S. Sebastian is such a tragic character in that film, isn't he?
He is. He's basically the toy man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I feel sorry for J.F. Good evening, J.F. Home again. Jiggity jig. Okay, shut up, Jason. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening to the show. I want to say happy Halloween to you, Steven.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween to you, Bill.
Happy Halloween to you.
Oh, well, thank you, Steven.
And you. And happy Halloween to you, Steven.
And to you, Bill.
Did you just call me a freak?
You, Jason.
No, he said happy Halloween.
Okay? Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween Day. Ghosts and goblins and ghouls.
Early birthday greeting.
That's creepy. Stop. Yeah,
tomorrow.
You're scaring me, Steven.
You got a birthday tomorrow.
Hey, Bob Dylan all of a sudden?
That's a little scary.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. No, wait. Okay, let's see if I can do Forrest Gump as Christopher Walken doing Bob Dylan. Shit, this is going to be tough. Happy birthday. Wait, that sounded like Torgo.
That's
who Torgo is.
Torgo is Forrest Gump doing Christopher Walken doing Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I just said.
Hey, what is going on here, huh?
Oh, we're doing a show. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been awesome. So we'll see you next time, kiddos. What?
Bye, kiddos.
They all are pretty much younger than us.
Yes, we're the old men.
Yeah. See you later, guys. Have a good one.
Awesome stuff.
I might be dead. I'm going to take some antibiotics or something. All right. Later, dudes.
All right, guys. Let's hit the road.
Proceed directly to the injection of hot drugs.
I am so disappointed.
Hey, what is going on here, huh?
Oh, my God.
I guess you think you're, like an authority figure?
What are you doing, man?
Is that a piece of shit?
It's a sickness.
This stupid man.
You know, these are the limits of your life, man.
Because we're stupid. I don't know.
I f***ed up big time.
You're such a super lady.
It's a little scary.
Don't be nervous. You look nervous.
I always liked you so much.
What a badass.
I know what you're doing right now, and I don't like it.
I am, so embarrassed for you.
You know what? We get it.
Listen to what I say.
You're half a douchebag.
No,